Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red lights at the round table, three dots where we're able. We'll routine to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red lights at the round table, our shows are more mid-able. So many times we've given rise that are quite unsingable. We're off the bag in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Do you hear that? Do you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Seizes the turbo. All those who are king, seizes the turbo and the knights of the round table.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. and the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Into your life it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.
Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table. Yeah, you better recognize old King Shazizz the Turbo don't play around and stuff like that, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, check this out. There were four guys. Four. Just four of them. Wait a second. Hold on, let me get this right. There's more than four guys. It was a team of guys. In under 4 minutes, put together an old World War II Willie's Jeep, all right? So they had this Jeep all laid out on the floor. All this group of guys come together, and under 4 minutes, they put this entire Jeep together, and then they all got inside the Jeep and drove it across the finish line in under 4 minutes. It's amazing what you can do whenever you got a good old dream team going on. I want you to think about that for a second. 4 minutes. In under 4 minutes, they was able to take this doggone Jeep that was completely disassembled, put it together, jump inside of it, and drive it across the finish line. That's pretty impressive. I posted the video link over there in the superchat.html room. And so with that said, I'm getting ready to slap the bee's nest. I'm going to slap it hard. I'm going to run up on the bee's nest, and I'm going to slap it hard because we got to get our act together. Alright, well, I'm going to start off by saying demons and vampires and demons are real. They're flat out real, and that's it. War's coming. Get ready, folks. The demons are real. The vampires are real. War's coming. Let me ask you a question, an honest question. When you hear the word religion, do you get riled up? When you hear the word political, do you get riled up? If you are either called or calling someone an ism, do you get riled up? Do they get riled up? What about the ist? Are you an ist, or have you been calling somebody an ist? Do you get riled up? Do you get them riled up? Come on, let's slap the bee's nest. Are you a control freak, or are you living around control freaks? Do you feel like your government's full of control freaks? Alright, run up there and slap the bee's nest with me. Think about it. Control freaks, ism, political, and religion. Alright, doesn't matter what you think or what you believe, there's somebody out there going to label you. I guarantee you, you're a label as well. You might be an ist, you might be an ism, you might practice isms or ists. You might be a political person, you might be a religion person, religious, got to use the right terminology. That's the key about this whole thing, is if you don't use the right terminology, your own words can be turned around and used against you. Some people get really aggravated and frustrated when you don't use the proper way to say things. Well, you said that and I'm offended. Well, I'm offended that you're offended. I'm offended that you're offended that I'm offended that you're offended. And so on. I don't know who got the last word in there, but we're slapping the bee's nest after all, right? Because war's coming, demons are real, vampires, they're not just coming to suck your blood, they're coming to suck your energy. Alright, they want to get you riled up. Did you know, hidden in America, there's like over 300 or 400 separate militias in this world? Yeah, I put a link to a documentary on there as well. And you can listen to some of those folks. You gotta kinda wonder why would people want to, like, gather up a bunch of guns and other people and run around playing army in the woods and stuff like that? Well, maybe they were afraid of the religion. Maybe they were afraid of the political. Maybe an ism was after them. Maybe an ist was after them. Maybe they are an ism. Maybe they are an ist. Maybe they're a control freak. Maybe their political ideology is just off the scale. Maybe their religion is out of whack. Who knows? But these, all these different labels, you can label them. Ooh, yeah, there's a label. It could be a terrorist. Did I say that right? Terrorist? I try to make sure I get all the verbs or the nouns and the pronouns or whatever. I don't even know. Don't even call me a linguist, because I can't even speak it right. Maybe I'm an ism instead of an ist. I don't know. So anyway, you know, while you're slapping that bee's nest and there's bees flying all around, oh no, he's talking about religion again. Yeah. Oh, no, he's getting all political. Oh, man, we can't have that. So they're going to run over there in the crowd, and they're going to start telling you why it is that you're wrong. You are wrong, by the way. So am I. We're all wrong. Each and every one of us wrong. Actually, nobody really knows the exact truth. So our ist and our isms and our political and our religions are kind of out of whack. So we have to be control freaks and try to tell each other what our belief is. And you got to believe it. Believe it or else, that's it. Believe it or else, I'm not going to be your friend no more. I'm unfriending you on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and whatever else I can unfriend you from. So, if you're an ist, an ism, a political or religious religion kind of individual, or a control freak kind of individual, this is your show today. We're slapping the bee's nest. Everyone's getting riled up. I can't tell you about Jesus because that'll get you riled up. I can't tell you about Buddha because somebody's going to get riled up. I can't tell you about Mother Earth because somebody's going to get riled up. Somebody said, a bunch of somebodies have told me that we are too religious around here. We're not religious around here. We're spiritual. We like to journey and listen to everybody else's journeys, and we like to try to solve problems using the best of what we've got to deal with. So while I'm out there slapping the bee's nest, there's militias building up over here, there's armies gathering over there, there's political groups over here, there's a riot over there. Hey, look at that one over there, man. These folks over there are protesting. They want to save the trees with their wooden stick and paper sign. They'll crack you on the head to prove it. They ain't playing, because they're ist and they're isms and they're political and they're religion. Well, some of them don't like religion. Some we got to put all those in there. You could be an agnostic, you could be an atheist, you could be a racist, you could be all kinds of ist. And every time you don't agree with somebody, you become one of those ist. And you're practicing one of those isms as well. So, let's get into this thing right there. Barbara, how you doing, lady?
Well, I can't talk at all today because, hey, everybody out there, because... Yeah, I'm liable to be attacked for what I'm just sharing with you or whatever's, and yeah, there's always going to be everyone who, you know, there, and that's kind of rising up. You can't say this, you can't say that, you can't talk about this, you can't voice your opinion, you can't have a perspective, you can't have a sense of anything, you can't have a dialogue because nobody wants to dialogue anymore. They just want to attack you and say, you know, just be quiet, I don't want to hear about that. So, yeah, that's where we are today. I've had that experience, you know, for sure. And, yeah, somebody said to you that your site is the round table, is it? Is too religion, too religious.
Yeah, too
religious.
What
does that mean? I don't even know what does that mean. But you know me, you know my feelings about organized religion. So I certainly am not a Bible thumper, or if I guess you want to call that. That's what some people say, a Bible thumper. I am a spiritual person, and we are all beings of have a spiritual, you know, essence. I do believe that. But if somebody has, I guess if they get bent out of shape, if you talk about something, I don't know what the something is, the term too religion, too religious, you're too biased, you're too this, you're too that, you're too much for that, and you're too much against this, and you're too, you know, I mean, where are we going? Because this is, again, it's back to politically correct / incorrect, which is a wave across the world. You know, you're afraid to say anything if your house is being broken into continually by a mob of whomevers, and you can't talk about it because those whomevers might be, you know, I don't know, they might be from another country, or they might be considered a minority. So you can't talk about that, you know. If in the UK, I was looking at, well, I'll tell you, well, I was looking at some videos about what is going on in Sweden. Sweden is, the title of this one video was Sweden is Going Down. Then you have the UK. You have all this other stuff going on with the waves of, and I can't talk about this, I can't say the word, but there's waves of some things coming into the countries, millions literally coming in. And there's a rise, and these are statistics. There's a rise in violence, a rise in rapes, a rise in assaults, and so on and so forth. But you cannot talk about it, because these are considered minorities, and we must all get along together. You know, this is, we must all get along together. I agree, we must all get along together. But we have to be real.
But wouldn't it be much easier to get along with people if you weren't labeling isms or ist or you know, all these different things? Wouldn't that be the more logical way to you know, bring people to the table, is to be, if you want to talk about being accepted, you know, accepting of others and their beliefs and stuff, you know, then you need to not be sitting there getting you know, words are powerful. You call me a racist, and I'm going to have to defend myself because I'm not no racist. I don't hate people because of their race or anything like that. And as far as isms, I don't practice any ism. Even though I call myself a Christian, I'm not even religious. See, according to me, Jesus didn't come down to start a religion. Jesus
was a
Christian.
You can't talk like this now. You're getting too religious now.
I know.
You got to stop doing that now. I'm sorry, but you can't express your opinion.
They're going to haul me off for my
Why does it make people uncomfortable? That's the question. I said to you, okay, if those people are accusing you, they're not going to listen to you anymore, your station, your radio. Boy, they might be missing out on some really good stuff because, guess what? They have an ism about you,
yep.
You know? And yep. So their ism is preventing them from actually tuning in to a great show, a very possibility. There might be a gem in this show today, right?
Yeah.
So, but their ism is preventing them, basically their prejudice against you. Oops, I shouldn't have said that word. Because you're being politically incorrect according to their isms.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like I say, you know, vampires, there's a misnomer out there. Vampires, they don't just suck blood. There's vampires of all different types. There's vampires that suck the energy right out of you. Imagine this. You go hang around a friend that you've known for years, and this friend, every time you come around, this friend is negative, man. I'll just tell you what, oh, everything's so terrible, and this life is doom and gloom, and we're all going to die, and the government, and I'm sick, and I know this guy that died yesterday, and the bill collector, and the cops, and all this, and by the time you get to hanging out with that individual, you feel your life force being sucked right from your soul. I gotta go, brother. I mean, I love you, man, but I can't deal with this. You see what I'm saying?
This is my favorite subject. Vampirism. Vampirism. It's an ism.
Yeah.
There's an ism for you. So, yeah. Well, you know, the stories of, you know, the vampires drinking the blood and Vlad. What is it? Vlad. Was it a Vlad? Was that... I don't know. Vlad, the vampire.
Well, either way, he's a terrorist for doing that, but it's scary, you know? It's like, I'm afraid. I don't want no vampire sucking on my neck while I'm trying to sleep. That's kind of rude.
Well, the vampires in the movies and stories and all that stuff have a certain appearance, you know? But a vampire, as you were saying, there are people who have a tendency to suck your energy. And, you know, maybe they're not sticking their pointy teeth in your neck, but they're definitely attacking you, sucking your energy, and that's a negative. This is, like you say, a negative attitude about everything, you know, a downer. It's kind of a downer to be around these people, and they suck your energy. I mean, I've been around people where you feel depleted after you're with them, and your ears are burning because they're saying all kinds of, you know, like, not very nice things, you know. They're stuck in their isms for sure, you know, vampirisms, and they do suck your energy. I've seen those people, I've been around those people, and I guess I'd say on a broad spectrum here, we are dealing with vampirisms, because it's overwhelming, I think, the systems about what we're going through. But I just wanted to talk about briefly that in 2016 I was looking at a video where they were talking about the turnaround of their immigration policies in the in Sweden after opening the doors freely, millions, literally thousands of millions of people just coming in, and it overwhelmed the country, it overwhelmed the resources, it overwhelmed the country. Then you have the rise in you know, in violence and gangs of men going into on the streets or in these music venues where all the people are gathered to have a joyous time, and these women are being picked up, literally picked up, and moved into through the crowd with all these men around them, and they're thrown into a van and taken off, and, well, not nice things happen. Nobody can do anything about it because it's sort of like this roving gang of whatever, but I can't name who they are because I'd be politically incorrect and I'd be tagged as a prejudiced person or an ism, you know, one of those isms.
Yeah.
But they talk about revolution coming. Now, this is in 2016, and this person who was talking about this issue said revolution is coming. And I'm just pulled up this hedge fund. It just happened to look for a little Google here. It says, okay, I just Googled revolution is coming. Now this Ray Dalio, he's a billionaire hedge fund manager. He warns that revolution is coming. There's going to be an uprising in America. And I think, in my, what do you want to call it? In my conspiracy theorism,
yeah.
Terrorism brain, I think this is what they're pushing us to. I think they want us to be pitted against each other, fighting against each other. We've talked about this before, and it's all about the isms. It's all about, you know, this play, this circus. And boy, I have to say, it is not your ordinary little country town circus, you know, where you go and you have popcorn and you watch the, you know, trapeze artist, you know. This is a big circus, folks. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it's a big show. I Googled up the word demon. The definition of demon, an evil spirit or devil, especially one thought to possess a person or act as a tormentor in hell, a forceful, fierce, or skillful performer of a specified activity. Ooh. Well, I tell you what, there's some people in the political scene right there that kind of fit that. You know? I think they're tormenting tormenting everyone. I think that you're 100% correct that this is an actual intentional divide and conquer deal. I mean, come on, look, you got some isms out there or some ist out there, and so you're going to throw in some different cultures in your isms and your ist and expect that they're not going to want to try to get riled up against each other. So, if you're either doing it intentionally or you're just not very bright, to put it politely. Because you know for a fact that these two cultures are quite substantially different. Alright? Now, does that mean one's better than the other? Not in my view, but, you know, maybe in somebody's view or whatever it might be. But you put these two cultures together, and they're used to not being able to, you know, they're used to being able to get by with things with their women that over here, we'd say, no, you don't do that around here. And other cultures, you know, different places like Europe and stuff like that, that treat their women pretty well and that kind of stuff. You know, you start bringing in somebody who's going to get a little bit on the, over the line on the rowdy side, then you're going to expect that these men, if they're real men, are going to stand up to defend their families and their women. And that's the way it should be as far as I'm concerned. At least that's the way it is supposed to be over here where I'm from. But there's a whole lot of something behind the scenes going on where you got all these different, not just cultures, but different nations merging in on each other. Because why? Because maybe their hometown ain't so nice. Well, if that plan didn't work over there in your own hometown, how do you expect it's going to work over here? That's the whole deal. And I think if we want to uplift a nation and help them to, you know, be able to live comfortably and afford things and be able to do, you know, live a good life and all that, then they wouldn't want to come here because it's too nice where they're at. So I can see why you're going to try to rush towards what you believe to be a neutral zone or a safety zone or a zone where you got more chances of benefits and, you know, luxuries and stuff like that. I can see why America would be like this really good shining lure. I can even see why Europe or the UK or Canada or Australia would look like it would be a good place to go. But when you get down to actually looking at the physicalities of what's actually occurring, laws and regulations. Like, for example, you know, here in the United States, we still have certain rights that Australia doesn't enjoy, or that Canada doesn't enjoy. So a lot of these different places, they don't have a Second Amendment, and they don't have a strong First Amendment to where they can actually speak their own truth. And even here in the United States, folks, we just got through explaining there's certain things that we can't say anymore because we offend one another. We make each other feel bad. We can't say certain terms because it doesn't matter what you see with your eyes. If somebody's over there raping this lady, you can't call that individual certain terminology. Otherwise, you become an ist or an ism, if you understand what I'm saying.
So, well, I just wanna go back to the demons. So I know we've talked about the dark ones or the demonics, the demonisms, the evilism going on, and you know, if you ignore this reality, I guess you ought to go to the Catholic Church or the Pope. Several times in the last 2 years, decided and determined that the church needs more exorcisms because the demonisms are rising and overtaking people, and they need to exorcism these peoples. And so I don't know what that tells you. I mean, I think they should do some exorcisms in their own house, frankly, but I'm just saying in general, you know, the question is, today, do demons exist? I suppose that question, well, do you believe in angels, you know? So we have the dark and the light in everything, the yin-yang, dark light. We have the good, the bad, and the ugly, you know. Well, we have demons and we have angels. We have demonic entities have always existed, I suppose. You could go back way in time, even to ancient cultures, you know. But let's not be ignorant and think that an entity or energy or frequency of a dark or let's say negative, like we've seen people, and like you said, we've been around people who are completely overtaken by negativity. That's certainly not anything of the light. You know, we have seen people overtaken and expressing their hatreds. Well, that's got nothing to do with the light. You know, I mean, hate is, you know, like you say, it's an energy that is really harmful, damaging.
Yeah.
Words, powerful words, when you have slurs against others and so on and so forth, those are certainly not of the light. So what are they, what is the source of that?
Well,
you know?
I'm not exactly sure, but, you know, some people really seriously get irate and violent when they get mad when you don't agree with everything they say. And, you know, the deal that says about the vampire, a corpse supposed in Europe folklore to leave its grave at night and drink the blood of the living by biting their necks with long, pointed canine teeth. A small bat that feeds on the blood of mammals or birds using its two sharp incisors teeth and anticoagulant saliva found mainly in Tropical America. Well, there's also leeches, there's ticks, there's fleas, and, you know, they all suck your blood. But, you know, a vampire ain't just sucking your blood, he's sucking your life force. And sometimes you get across these negative individuals that come out there, or even the ones that just think they're really brilliant and they want to discourage you from creativity. Well, you don't have the right words, or you don't have the right piece of paper, or you're not a scientist, so you can't be telling me you're not a mathematician. That wasn't even a word, I just made that one up. But you can do that nowadays, you can make things up, you know. There's like 400 different, you know, sexes nowadays, and, you know, all kinds of... I know it ain't funny, but vampires, by gosh, are real, man. I've had a few ticks on me, been bitten by a flea or two. You know, and I've actually had my my energy drained down by some negative zombie that just couldn't enjoy life, no matter how much. Hey, look at all your blessings, brother. You get you got all this nice stuff. Yeah, but this is what terrible world we live in, you know. And I'm sorry, it's a terrible world, but you got, you know, an iPhone 6 or whatever, and you got a nice car and a nice house, and you got a beautiful wife and children. That's pretty doggone cool. Yeah, well, the government's coming to get it, and the doggone terrorists behind every bush, and then there's this Planet X is coming in. It's going to blow it all away, you know, and so... You're, between the combination of chronically paranoid, super negativity, every person that that vampire comes in contact with, now, had it started off with a sunshiny day like the song, and then suddenly, bam, I'm feeling down. I went to my family's house one time, and I was feeling so depressed. And I sat down at the table, and I'm listening to everybody talk, and asked me if I wanted a cup of coffee. And so I said, okay, yeah, I'll get up and get me a cup of coffee. I got my cup of coffee, and I sat down, and I listened to them. One of my family members was talking about sickness, and then the other one had to top that story with death, and then the other one had to top that. Well, this one over here's got cancer. And, well, this one over here's got diabetes, and oh yeah, and I don't feel so good, and I got this crink in my neck, and my back hurts, and I got bunions on the bottom of my toe, and then it just kept on going worse and worse and worse until finally, couple of my cousins come rolling up in the door, and they was just foul-mouthing each other every different direction, cussing each other out, talking about fist fighting, F this and F that, and just going to town. And the more this went on, I kept sliding lower and lower and lower in my seat. I could feel my energy force being drained. I was already depressed. Don't forget that. And finally, I just couldn't take it anymore. Something reached down inside me and said, "Bo, you better get up out of here. They're draining you dry." And so I stood up and I said, "Look, everybody, I'm getting the bleep up out of here. I'm going home." And they all looked at me like, "What? What's wrong with you?" And I said, "Well, I come down here because I was all depressed and I need to hang out with my family. But after listening to all you people, I ain't got it so bad. I'm going home where the world's great."
Well,
I left.
So that's good. I just want to welcome everybody in the People for People chat and other chats. It's really good to see everybody on this fine, fine, beautiful morning here. I caught Shaziz's head cold. I know he passed it through me through these frequency waves through our through our chat here.
Yeah, through the piezoelectric crystal, it sent that cold wave over to you. So we're both a sniveling.
Yeah.
I go get some of that natural honey and put that down there while you talk for a second, and maybe that frequency will come over to you.
Yeah, so give me some of that good stuff.
Yeah, I'll be right back.
You know, again, it's difficult. You have to say, here we are, we're in that ism situation where you can't talk about things because somebody's going to get bent out of shape. You know, and I do want to agree that there's good and bad in everything. And I, you know me, I am not, I'm thoroughly against organized religions, any religion that is organized religion, period. You know, and that I have to make my point on. And I do see throughout history the atrocities that the religions, you know, set people upon each other. Down through history, you know, you have to do your research in the history of, for instance, a peaceful religion or so-called religion of peace. What's the history of that so-called religion of peace? Well, I guess you'd say most religions say they are religions of peace, or they're, you know, God-fearing. That's a term, God-fearing. I don't know what that really means, because in all these types of organized religions, I don't think they're very much in fear of an omniscient one, or the wrath of a omniscient one. You know, so I just see this history is coming to the forefront here with another a rise of a sect of peoples who have an agenda, unlike, I suppose, now I don't know. Is it on like other religions? I mean, like the evangelists have their set pattern of they want the return of the Antichrist because they want the Messiah to come back. So what does that mean if you're begging and praying for the Antichrist to come? Do you know what that means in the Bible? That means like it ain't going to be very nice, folks, when that Antichrist comes. And then in order for the Messiah to come, it's doubly not going to be very nice. So that's the evangelist. You know, and then you have the Christian religion who we know what they did, not just here on Turtle Island. They came with that book underneath their arms and committed genocide, but not just here. You know, we have the Inquisition in Europe that started 200 years of violence against Jews, against gypsies, against gays, and against women. That was the Christian church, burning people at the stake or plucking their fingernails out or torturing them. Torturing people beyond what you could even imagine another human being doing to another person just to get them to admit that, yes, they're a witch, you know, or, okay, I'll turn to your religion, you know. If you weren't Christian,
but
you
hold
were,
on a second. Hold on a second. If you died, that means you were innocent.
Yeah, if you were put on that little board that they sunk you into the river and you... you know, kept you in there and you died. Oh, oops, that meant you were innocent. Jeez, because if you were a real witch, you wouldn't have died.
Yeah.
That's their kind of thinking. What I'm pointing out is the history of all religions. Okay, but you have, excuse me, you have a religion of peace that is supposedly, their doctrine is to bring their religion, their beliefs, throughout the whole of the world. And this is what we're looking at. Plus, it's okay in their religion to basically, because if you are not this of this religion, you can be raped and you can be beaten. And even if you are of that religion, you can be stoned to death. Okay, you can be beheaded and you can have your hand lopped off. In that peaceful religion, that religion of peace, this is what we're talking about. And again, this is a wave that is happening, okay? Excuse me, I'm not saying that that's the only religion that is seriously bad that we should be really concerned about. But what I'm talking about in the beginning here is the wave of a certain group of people coming into Europe, coming into all these places in Europe that are really, you know, not wanting to assimilate into the country, and they have different ideas, like rape, for instance. It's okay to rape, you know, women. That's fine. And then you'd say, well, there are other people who aren't of any religion who feel it's okay to rape a woman. And that's true, but we're talking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, you know, of people, of men gathering together at events where they can just grab any woman, any young girl or whatever. So this is what I'm talking about. And Shaziz, you want to bring Patty in? She's
well,
got
yeah.
her coffee.
Do you have any bees, honey, on your side of the fence?
Not right now.
Oh, well, I'll send you some of the negative or some of the positive vibes of the natural honey I just took.
I'm gonna take it and have right. Thank
it's
you.
It's coming your way.
I'll add
Patty in there.
Okay.
So, you know, there's a lot of folks that know, everybody knows that here in the United States we have a Second Amendment that's like gives us the right to defend ourselves. But what they don't know, what they probably aren't sure about, is that you can go to prison for up to life for exercising your rights and defending yourself. It happens all the time. Whenever the bad guy does what the bad guy does, if you pull your firearm and have to use it or whatever, even just pulling it's enough to get you in trouble. There's a group out there called the USCCA that's supposedly an advocate to help you out, and they give you different information out there. So you might want to look into all the repercussions of, you know, defending yourself. But the point that I want to get to is not to try to... I'm not trying to say I'm promoting, you know, guns and all that. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that just because we have certain rights don't mean we don't have repercussions for exercising those rights. So I can't even sit here and have a conversation with all of these wonderful folks on the Knights of the Round Table and express my personal spiritual beliefs and stuff like that for the fear that I might offend somebody or that I might be perceived to be too religious. Well, there's solutions out there in the world. And according to the belief system that I got, there's solutions within that. You know, let's talk about the faith of a mustard seed being strong and you could actually move a mountain with it. It's not just that. If you don't believe in yourself or something, then you're not going to be able to accomplish anything. If you don't believe it's possible, then why would you even try? And that's the problem. You're looking at a world that is broken. You know, it needs some fixing. We can fix it. But unless people believe it's actually possible to do so, then where's the solution at? You know, I could give you solution after solution after solution, but if you don't believe any of them is even remotely possible, you're not even going to make the attempt. And what you will do is you'll become a vampire. Yeah, ain't that crazy? You, personally, will become a vampire. Because you'll start telling everybody, oh, that's not possible because we're doomed, and the book says we're all going to die anyway. And so you're going to become a vampire. You're quite literally going to start draining that person's hope. You're going to start draining that person's energy by the words coming out of your mouth. You're going to tell them it's not possible. And eventually, they might just get discouraged and walk away. Look back and listen to some of the podcasts and hear the words coming out of my mouth. When a person like me gets so discouraged, I'm talking about shutting it all down and walking away, is because all those vampires out there were telling me, oh no, you're stupid and you can't do this and it's not possible and you don't know what you're talking about, or you're misguiding people, or you're too religious, or you're standing on a soapbox. I allowed those vampires to suck on my neck and my back and my arm and my leg, and they were all over me. And finally, I had to slap them with my belief system and say, get behind me, Satan, because I ain't tolerating this anymore. This is my life. This is my soul. I'm walking on a spiritual journey. I'm not forcing it upon you, but if you ask me, I will share what it is that I believe. I'm not an ism. I'm not an ist. I'm not even religious. I do have a belief system, and maybe it's right, and maybe it's wrong. I don't know, but we're all on this separate spiritual journeys together. You are you. There's only one, and there will only ever be one of you. And unless you realize that you're different, you're never going to be the same as anyone else, and you're never going to get them to be identical to you. They will not conform to you. And if you try to force that upon them, they're going to get violent. If you try to force other cultures into a culture that is used to treating their women one way, and you are used to treating them a different way, when you put those two together, they're going to crash. You think that the people at the top who's pushing the buttons and paying the bills and trying to gather us all into one little crowd, herd us in there, that they don't know that? They use whatever tactics available. Part of the tactics is the ism and the ist and the political and the religion, and the control freaks out there are making money off of you while they're tormenting you. There are demons out there. These demons go by political terminology such as Republican or Democrat or whatever. And so it doesn't stop. It is a constant, never-ending cycle, a flood of propaganda and information and all that kind of stuff. And you have to realize that you personally have some power. You personally have a whole lot more power than you think. The words that are coming out of your mouth could drain my soul right out of my body if I allow you to do so. And that's what I'm trying to say to the world out there. In 4 hours, a group of men came together and they put together a World War II Willie's Jeep. And it's amazing to watch, because they not only put it together in under 4 minutes, but they all got in it and they drove it across the finish line. That's what you can accomplish when you gather together. But just think, if all these guys that gathered together to do this, one of them was an ism, one of them was an ist, one of them had political ideology, one of them had a religious hang-up or whatever, and they started talking, well, you know, my God says, don't put that tire over there, put it over there. Next thing you know, they're fighting. The war's on. The war is coming. And the only folks out there that have the power to stop it is each and every one of you. By not buying into the lie that is the ist and the ism and the control freak policies and the political and the religious ideologies. If you want to be spiritual, you're welcome here on Shaziz Knights of the Round Table. You can share your spirituality.
Well, I want to say that anybody who isn't spiritual who isn't whatever, they're welcome here too. I mean, I was thinking of the people who said to you, your shows are too religious. I said, well, why, you know, so what? Why are they questioning that? You know, in other words, we're not forcing anybody to become spiritual.
Yeah.
I'm certainly not forcing anybody, nor are you, to follow what you believe.
No, we welcome hardcore atheists, agnostics. It doesn't matter what you believe. As long as you've got some sort of sense, you want to make this world better, and we're all going to gather, put all of our differences aside, and work towards that goal of making things better and finding solutions. That's what it's about. Am I wrong?
No, I mean, that's what we're all about. I just find it very curious that it makes people uncomfortable and we're not religious. We're not pushing religion. We're talking about ideas. We're talking about good things. We're talking about, you know, being kind. We're talking about being loving and compassionate. We're talking about frequencies. We're talking about energies. We're talking about the power that we have, and we're also talking about what is affecting us, which is dark, which is hurtful, which is harmful. You know, that's what we're talking about,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, you're not standing up there saying to people, you have to come my way and pick up that Bible and follow my word and believe me, and, you know, that's religious dogma. So, but my question still, I have this question, so why are they uncomfortable about even what we're talking about? What makes them uncomfortable, this ism, you know? This is the whole point. So they disappear. They don't want to listen anymore to anything, period. Just shut off, delete, shut down. Don't want to hear nothing, okay? Even if it might be good, if it might be helpful, if it might be beautiful, if it might be awesome, they are not interested because of this one thing that makes them feel uncomfortable. And this is what we're really talking about. What makes people uncomfortable, okay, if you're talking about anything, what makes them feel uncomfortable will shut them down into denial and basically continuing into that same direction of, I don't want to know nothing, you know. Yep. I don't want to know anything, period, because that's really what they're doing. They're just shutting them down, themselves off from any possibility of hearing something that might be helpful. You know, well, might be good.
In the process of that, I feel like they cheat themselves. They cheat themselves out, like what you was mentioning earlier, out of a possibility, you know, that they might get something positive out of hearing all these different views come together to, you know, talk about fixing the world. Look, like you just said, we're not sitting here trying to tell people what they have to believe. We're not even suggesting that you convert from whatever you believe. We're saying if all these individuals coming from different cultures and backgrounds can sit down here and, have a peaceful conversation, then why couldn't that be something standard worldwide? Why couldn't everybody do that? You know, we do it here. I mean, we're coming from all different beliefs. We're not all on the same page about every single thing. But, it just blows my doors off. But on the quest for them to basically convince you how wrong you are, they become a vampire. They start draining your positive vibe, so to speak. Oh no, you're wrong. You know what how it feels when somebody tells you that you're just wrong? You know, it stinks, and you feel like you got to defend myself. Maybe you just didn't understand what I said. I wasn't saying this, and then you got to get in this battle of terminology. What if you use the wrong words? You're in trouble. You know, I'm from Missouri, all right, and I don't always have proper grammar. I'm raised around a bunch of what some people would call rednecks or whatever, and that's another terminology. If you talk a certain way, you might be
wrong. Uh-oh, politically incorrect. Uh-oh.
You see what I'm saying?
There might be some rednecks listening to you there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm related to probably some of them.
Well, why were they called rednecks? I mean, well, because they worked outside a lot and they got a lot of sunburn on their necks,
Because the farmer tan, you know, you got a t-shirt.
That's what
on.
It is.
You got a neck all red, and you're when you put
well,
the shirt off,
it's
you look like you
become a negative. It's become become a negative, those are the deplorables today. Those are the people who are work the land. Those are the people who don't have a lot. Those are the people who, you know, may not have an education because they didn't have that opportunity because they had to work. They had to go to work. You know, I mean, this is how bad things have gotten, you know, where people are tagged, you know, with certain nasty titles. But, you know, majority of these people are really good, hardworking people, you know, and their necks are red because they work outside. Just saying.
Yeah.
But they don't have the Harvard education. So that makes them less than. They are a minority, you know. They're your simple people. They're your neighbors, you know.
Yep.
But now they are the deplorables. That's all.
Well, and
you be my neighbor?
How you doing, Patty?
Hey there, sis.
Hey, guys.
Well,
I love the conversations that you guys get started before I get here.
Well, I'm glad you're coming in, because I'm getting a rant. I'm getting a rant here.
Are you an ist or an ism or a political or a religion or a control freak?
I just be me.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know?
You be
I'm not caught into none
attacked?
Of that stuff.
Have you been attacked for being you?
Oh, heck yeah. Yes. Have mouth, will draw ire. You know?
There's always going to be somebody, right, who's not going
right.
to like your perception, your isms, your whatevers.
Yeah, and you know, that's the whole thing, is that... we're not ever all going to agree. That's not possible. It's not possible. We can't even agree on what color the sky is at any given time, or the weather, for that matter. It's okay, though. We don't have to. I mean, that's not important. What is important is that we do agree that we're all related, you know, that... there are good and bad people out there, and that bad people do bad things. And they do bad things usually to good people. That's just the way that it works. And when you have bad people in places of power, then they're going to get a lot of bad people to do bad things to a lot of good people. And yeah, you're absolutely right that you can't put your finger on any religion and say that's a good religion, because all of them have blood on their hands. Since the beginning of religion, it's always been about control and about getting rid of the infidels, you know? It used to be that way, that it was such a system. And we were so superstitious and willing to blame everything on God's mad at us because we did this, and now we've got these storms. God's mad at us and because we did that, and now our crops are failing. We gotta sacrifice somebody to the altar. We gotta throw some virgin. Let's go get a virgin and throw her into the volcano. I mean, this has been going on forever. You know, we can't sit here and say that, oh, those are just nice guys, because, hey, they talk about peace. That doesn't mean anything. I mean, you can use any word you want to use to describe your religion. You can paint it as the all-inclusive, loving community of souls for enlightenment. And behind the back of that, you could be lopping off everybody's heads and thinking that you're doing the really good thing if you're a fanatic, if you've got that frame of mind. You know, government, religion, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's just control. And anytime you give power to control, that power and that control will take away your control and your power. You know, that's just the way things go.
Yep.
And we gotta be honest about that. You know, you don't send your child out in the to go play, you know, your toddler out to go play and say, hey, just don't worry about it, it's okay out there, knowing full well that if you don't teach your child if you're not out there to watch your child, that something bad might happen. You know, you can't just say, well, these neighbors here are really good, so my little 4-year-old can go out and play. You know, he'll be protected, because you don't know that. You know? And it's the same thing. You don't know any religion. It's nice to say that the Muslims are a religion of peace. And there are some sects that are. It's only the fanatical extremists who are the ones who have been groomed and created, been worked on for years and decades and centuries to be who they are. And if you go back and you look at history in the Middle East, you can see how this has been done to them and how they've reacted the same way that the extremists are still reacting today. They believe, they truly believe that they have the right to take the lives of people and to rape women. These are the extremists, and it's real. You can't deny that.
Well, I think,
you know, the Christians are the same way. They went around and they killed people because they said, hey, there's a solar system out there, and I think we're revolving around the sun. That was enough to get you killed.
Well, I think that every good thing gets hijacked, because, you know, when you talk about the Crusades, and they're called Christians back in them days, but you gotta really look seriously into what's going on. My version of Christianity has nothing to do with the Roman Catholic Church. All right, and a true Christian wouldn't have been out there doing what they were doing. And that's not what Christ taught. I mean, if you actually read the words that he taught, he wouldn't have been agreeing with that kind of stuff. That wasn't something that he would have done.
Right.
The book clearly states, thou shalt not kill. It doesn't say if and or unless, maybe if this person does this or that or whatever. It said, thou shalt not kill, period. And it's like the First and Second Amendment, you know, or the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
But you see, that's the cool thing about the Bible, because if you read the latter part of the Bible, the New Will and Testament of Christ, it says, love thy brother, you know, don't kill, don't covet thy wife, da 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 da.
Yeah.
But if you read the Old Testament, then God was a vengeful God.
Oh yeah, he was running around
and he destroyed people left it. Yeah. So you got it all there. It depends on which part you want to take and adopt as your faith and your belief. And that's what's happening with every religion.
Yeah.
You know? They will, if a person wants to do bad things, gets power, and has the power to shape people's minds, he can use any book, he can use anything to find those weak-minded people who will do his bidding for him.
Yeah, that's it. You know, you can run around and you can have all these different... According to science, there's only two genders, but that's not that way anymore. The world has changed, and now there's multitudes of genders, and you can marry a tree, or maybe even marry your dog now. I don't know. Some people just the things that they it seems like they try to see how far that they can push what society would otherwise consider to be normal.
Boy, they get that Chinese guy. Well, several of them, they're marrying their blow-up dolls.
Oh, wow. Well, man. I don't even want to...
Is that another subject you want to tackle?
Oh, I just want to fill it up with helium and let it go.
Well, that's really a sad state of affairs, really. I mean, that people are actually marrying blow-up dolls. And, yeah, I mean, I don't even know what to say on that. I mean, I know the dolls are sexualized, so you can actually, you know, fulfill your whatever's marriage commitment.
Yeah, but there's even been some guys, Barb, that and women who have married these phone like sim people.
Wow.
You know? Yeah, I read an article on that where they were standing there, and T-Dog says, yeah, Patty, they don't argue back.
That's right. It's so true.
And, yes,
yeah.
And they're always, they never have a headache either.
They're always there. Day and night and in between, they are there.
Well, I think I married the perfect lady, so I'm happy where I'm at. I'm not going to leave her for a doll that you have to air up once a week.
Well, what is this, though? Getting people used to Android or getting people used to artificial intelligence, you know, accepting them completely like that, that you can live with them and marry them and be, you know, whatever. That's your life. That's your future, you know. Yeah.
Well, I say to each his own. Look, if you want to go out there,
if you want to marry a rubber doll,
yeah, go ahead.
Stay with me. Whatever you do behind closed doors is your business. Just don't try to make me or my children follow suit.
That's right. Don't make me have to conform to it. And if you get angry because I don't recognize your rubber doll as a rubber ducky, then
that's when the government starts mailing everybody in the country these rubber dolls, then we're in trouble.
Yeah, there you go. There's your new date. What? No, that ain't how
UPS
it works.
UPS is
house.
On the doorstep with your rubber doll.
I want to return the sender. No, I ain't gonna return it to sender. I'm gonna get out that old. I'm gonna get out that old party tank of helium and I'm gonna fill it up with helium and let it go with a note on there that said, "Not my house."
Well, I want to know, when they marry these dolls and it doesn't work out, you know.
Okay, don't get into details.
I mean, do they have to go to divorce court?
Well, yeah, you know?
The judge is a doll, too. So the judge is a rubber doll and all the jurors.
Let's say hypothetically that you accidentally blow it up. Does that? I mean, I'm not talking about blowing it up. I'm talking about like explode it. Like you accidentally poke a hole in it. Are you going to go to jail for murder now? Because you.
Well, that's abuse. And Van just said, better that person, you know, marries a rubber doll than marry a real person. The doll can't charge that person with abuse. Okay, so that's what you're talking about, abuse of a rubber doll.
Yeah.
But if they married them officially with a judge, then they have to
rubber
be divorced. You know? And if you can't, if you just do away with your wife and order a new one, you know, and blow her up.
Okay, we're getting into testy conversation here.
Well,
we're in trouble.
Do you like the way I steered the conversation?
No, I don't like this one.
That's why the vampires and the demons are running amok out there. I mean, come on, folks. Look, if you want to marry your rubber ducky, do it on your own time. Don't come out there and make the world watch and believe and all that, because we're not. We got our own spirituality. We got our own journeys we're on. We got our own beliefs, and we're all different. And so you're, in my view, really seriously kind of different, but that's all right. Yeah, we still love you anyway. So that's what my book told me I had to do. I mean, so... Love thy neighbor, love thine enemy.
I think this is going to be a rubber doll apocalypse.
Yeah, maybe that's the zombie portion of it.
Yeah.
Well, the only thing I can see that might be a difficulty is if they want to socialize, you know, with neighbors and stuff, you can't exactly have your doll join you in a... and a bridge, you know?
Yeah.
Unless they're rubber dolls, too, but...
The bridge party... I think we're losing
people.
Can't take them out to the restaurant and, you know.
People are leaving in mass here off the chat because we're talking about marrying rubber dolls and, okay, kids.
So, here's the thing. It's like, when you pop into the chat or on the radio and you hear a certain word and suddenly you're triggered and say, oh no, they're talking about rubber dolls, I'm out of here, goodbye. Or when you walk in the door and you hear somebody saying something about religion, you didn't even hear the rest of the conversation, but automatically, bam, that trigger word, The ist got you, the ism got you, the control freaks got you, the political definitions got you, political correctness, that's what we were, yeah, and then the religious definition, I can't sit around and hear this. Alright, well, my point about all this craziness is there are really demons out there. There are really vampires out there. And they're not maybe exactly the way that you hear it on Hollywood. It may not be Vlad the Impaler coming around to suck on your neck or something like that. Might be one of his cronies or something, you know.
It might be a rubber doll.
Yeah, it could be a rubber doll. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Oh, my God.
And wouldn't the firemen be really mad? I mean, I'll say this and then we can end that discussion, but wouldn't the fireman be really mad? He says, my wife's still in that house, you gotta save her, and he goes in there and he comes running out with his dog. What? You sent me in there for that? I'm gonna kill you.
Mouth to mouth.
Oh, no. No, no.
Okay, I'll be quiet now.
Moving right along.
No wonder your friends left.
Yeah, that's
no wonder,
it.
They're not going to come and listen anymore.
Yeah, that's it. I don't blame them. But look, in all seriousness, folks, look, we have a lot of, there's so much going on in this world out there. But if you're not able to recognize the push button words and the terminology used, I mean, vampires and demons are real. That's a clickbait if I ever heard one. And war is coming. It's right there. It's a clickbait. But it's true. They are real. I mean, think about it. What would you call somebody who would go out and do something terrible to somebody else? I mean, would you call them a nice guy? You got to be politically correct. Well, that man's sick, and so we got to take him to the doctor, and we got to get him well so we can release him back out to the society again, and hopefully he won't do it again. Huh?
Well, yeah, you know, there's real going back. That takes us all the way back to religion and the colonization of the Americas, because the religious sects, several of them, including Seventh-day Adventists, in the history, the true history of how this continent was taken from the people who were here, they would take the natives and they would bring them to their ports or wherever, and they would put them in confinement, and they would tell them that as soon as you are a savage right now and without God, and as soon as you will profess your love and devotion to God and to Christ or whatever, depending on which sect you were dealing with, then you'll be one of us. And as soon as they did convert, then they killed them, because in their mind, as long as they were converted, they would go to heaven, so you could go ahead and kill them, and it would be a good thing, instead of killing them while they were a savage. This is real. It's in the history.
Well,
it's in the real history. So again, it takes us right back. And these were not just the Christians. These were many different religions that did this. And you look at the Protestants and the Catholics been killing each other forever. You know, this is just fanaticism. This is what many religions, all religions have sects that believe in the extreme beliefs and covenants of their religion and are willing to take life. That's not all of them. There are Christians who would never, ever, ever condone the harming of anyone. There are probably Muslims out there who would never, ever condone the harming of anyone. But those are not the ones that you have to be aware of.
That's it. It's not the TV version of the vampire. So the word religion, the belief in and worship of a superhuman controlling power, especially a personal god or gods. Now, if you actually listen to the wording of the actual definition, superhuman controlling power. All right? This is the definition according to the Dictionary Online. A particular system of faith and worship, a pursuit and interest to which some ascribe supreme importance. Folks, when you listen to this deal right here, there are trigger words in there that, you know, will get you right out of the gate. Controlling is the trigger word of all trigger words. It's controlling. I don't want nobody controlling me. And you couldn't admit that there could possibly be a higher power, whether it be nature's source, Mother Earth, or God of some sort, or whatever, some sort of creator. You couldn't say that. Oh, well, you know, I don't want to be controlled, because if you admit that that there's a possibility that there might be something more to us than just us, that there might be actually some divine entity that actually brought us all together, then you might actually have to be held accountable for your actions in life. Some people don't want to be held accountable. Some people think there ain't no such thing as good or evil, that, you know, everything is just whatever you do is what you do, you know, and we're all on our own, and this is all an accident or whatever. Regardless of what you think, we're still all in the same exact boat. You know, whether it's flat, whether it's round, or whatever, or even if we're under a dome, it doesn't matter. We're still in the same exact boat. We might even be in prison. Some people think we're in a hologram. We don't even really know where we're at. But the fact that we sit around and we war and hate on each other, and we label each other and constantly being divided amongst each other in a world that, with my own two eyes and my own mind and my research and everything that I can see around us, that we have every single thing necessary to resolve all the problems in the world. We have more than enough resources to take care of every single person here on this boat. But instead, what we do as humans is we fight for shiny things. We fight for oil, nasty black crud that comes out of the ground that ain't never going to run out. I don't care what anybody says, but nonetheless, we fight over the most ridiculous things. We fight over religions and political and isms and ist and the control freaks out there. They enjoy it when we fight. The vampires of energy out there, they drain us dry with all these hates and negativities that we fight amongst each other over. They are control freaks in this world. Some of the people listening might be slightly controlling themselves. You might be an ist. You might be an ism. You might be a political person or a religious person. I don't know what your deal is. I don't know. All I can tell you is from my perspective, when I sit here on the Knights of the Round Table, I'm proud to sit here with all these other wonderful individuals. I am honored to have the words of wisdom come out of their mouth. And I want to hear about their cultures. I want to hear about what they believe. I want to us sit around and try to sort out. We're seeking the truth, honestly. And we're seeking solutions, honestly. And we're doing it in a respectful manner. We're not degrading each other. We're not arguing over who's right or who's wrong. And there were a lot of terrible atrocities that came about just to get this one continent in the way that it is. And all over the world, you can name history after history. And some of that history has actually been erased. Some, they don't teach you all this stuff in school. We want the truth, the whole truth. I think Patty said it the other day, how are we supposed to, you know, not fix anything, you know, if we never knew somebody did something wrong? How are we supposed to not repeat that deal? It's bound and determined to happen if nobody ever is being able to tell about it. Why would you want to take down a statue of a terrible person? Maybe you could put a notice on there. Hey, look, here's the book. Look it up yourself. If you like this guy, you don't, whatever. But that's part of history. You know, there are certain things about certain types of symbology that people can't stand. They despise it. The whole rebel flag controversy. It's racist. You're a racist if you got it. But there might have been stories on the other side that needed to be told. There might have been the stories. It doesn't matter. There's two sides to every story. But if you're only being told one portion of it, and that's how you base your decisions or your opinions or your ideas on. If you only getting propaganda from one particular media outlet, some people hate Fox News, some people love Fox News, some people despise all the rest, some people love all the rest. It doesn't matter. If you're getting your information and that bias is keeping you, you know, in that system to where you're listening to that those words and then you're preaching them as they were gospel out there to the world, you got to believe this because this is what was said or whatever, this is what was done, you're missing out.
I remember I posted a very interesting, what I thought was a very interesting article that perhaps might, you know, bring people to investigate this particular information. But the only thing I received from people was, oh, that's from Brexit? From Brexit? You're posting from Brexit? I mean, they didn't even read the article. It was just, oh, or that's from Fox, or that's Fox? You're posting from Fox? Yeah. But they didn't even read the article. This is what I'm talking about, how prejudiced people are, how they've been basically designed, brainwashed, and manipulated in this manner.
I wouldn't want them on a jury of my peers, because if they have a one-sided view on things, some of my terminology that comes out of my mouth could be used against me in a court of law. You see what I mean?
Well, I just want to emphasize again, you're talking about the vampirisms, and how I see this is, of course, it's about frequency, it's about energy, and when we are in a state, and when we are in a lower frequency, and when we are in a state of an energy that is you know, divisive or hateful or judgmental or jealous or unkind or snarky, that's a frequency, that is an energy that vampires, you want to call them vampires, you know, whatever you want to call them, that sucks on that energy. They need that food, they need that frequency. And we, the people, basically, are feeding either the light or the dark, and that's how that is really represented.
Yep.
By our words and our acts have a power, we know that, we've talked about that, and how you're building either positive or negative energies in the whole world. You're affecting and, you know, drawing upon into your life, into your family's life, you know, entities or vampirisms or dark ones that need your snarky comments, that need your hate, that need, you know, whatever you're doing that is in a low level of frequency, you're feeding something. And the same way, in the opposite, is if you're loving and you're compassionate and you're kind, you're feeding something else. You're building something else. You're building that frequency of kindness and love and compassion. This is the way the universe works. This is, you know, this is nothing new. And this is something that is known by people, I guess you want to call it psychological warfare. I mean, if you know the ancient wisdoms and knowledges of how to basically control people and how to feed the dark, how to build, you know, the energies that are harmful, then you use this against the people. Unknowingly, the people just follow suit. You know, that's what brainwashing is. You know, you may not know.
I was getting ready to say something along that line. I'm glad you brought that up, because inadvertently, and this, I'm going to slap the bee's nest again. Everybody brace yourself. I'm going to slap the bee's nest. Inadvertently, you can become a vampire and not even know that you're a vampire, because you could be telling propaganda out there and negativity, and you could be draining somebody else's spirit right out from under them, not even realize it. You see what I'm trying to say here, Barbara?
I do, and the thing that just comes to my mind is about the children, because the children are the most vulnerable. They're the most innocent and the vulnerable, and they can't basically, they may have a sense that something is wrong, but they can't express it. They're not allowed to express it, first of all. They cannot express it because you'll be punished by the adults or the authorities or so on. And so, basically, you take the children first. You affect the children first of generations past. And as you move along through generations and generations, what you have imprinted within those, the earlier generation, follow suit throughout all generations, and you keep that process going through media, through imprints, and through brainwashing systems of the authorities in all of our, you know, in all of our life, basically. You know, whether it be political, whether it be, you know, religious or whatever, it is a systematic control, mind control, and they start with the children because they're the most vulnerable. I mean, Van said something earlier, and I totally agree with her because I have talked about this. I did grow up a Catholic. I went to Catholic school, and I remember the nuns telling us that you are born with sin. All children are born with sin. And I have to say that instinctively, intuitively, in my whole self, that felt so wrong. I could not wrap my mind around that, but I could not express that. You know, it's like I couldn't say to that nun, you're wrong. You know, I would have got smacked with a ruler, I'm sure. You know, I would have been punished and I would have been shamed in front of the whole class. But this is what I'm talking about. You indoctrinate the young children with these isms, with these false things, these lies, and you kill their spirit. You crush their spirit. So they begin to deny their own inner knowledge, inner wisdom, inner guidance, their own ability for critical thinking. This is where we are today. You know, we have waves of this information, this brainwashing system coming over us, and people are choosing sides, and that's where we are today. I guess I always say we all came here to participate, and how are you participating? Which direction are you going? Which pathway are you going? It's in our hands. That's why we say free will. We've all been given free will. You know, you can align yourself with the snarky, angry, hateful people, or you can turn the other way, you know, and say, well, I'm not gonna feed that beast, because that's what we're doing. That's how I say.
Well, let me read eight things to you. And everybody listen real closely to these eight things that I'm going to read and see if any of them apply. All right, number one. That was disgusting. All right, number one. You believe that if someone would change one or two things about themselves, you'd be happier. So you try to help them change this behavior by pointing it out, usually over and over. All right, number two. You micromanage others to make them fit your often unrealistic expectations. You don't believe in imperfection, and you don't think anyone else should either. Number three, you judge others' behavior as right or wrong and passive-aggressively withhold attention until they fall in line with your expectations. Sitting in silent judgment is a master form of control. You offer constructive criticism as a veiled attempt to advance your own agenda. Number five, you change who you are or what you believe so that someone will accept you. Instead of just being yourself, you attempt to incept others by managing their impressions of you. Number six, you present worst case scenarios in an attempt to influence someone's way from certain behaviors and towards others. This is also called fear mongering. Number seven, you have a hard time with ambiguity and being okay with not knowing something. Number eight, you intervene on behalf of people by trying to explain or dismiss their behaviors to others. So, these might be eight signs that you're a control freak. If those apply to you, you might be a control freak, according to this particular article out there. I'll throw the link up in there, even though I don't think any of you are control freaks. I'm still going to copy the link. I'm still going to post it in there because I want you to see it my way, man.
Well, you know, the thing of it is that I think that if we recognize that people are the ones who do the deeds, the religion doesn't do it. The religion is the shelter under which they hide. Any religion can produce sects of violence and have. It has to do with the mind of the individual and how they see life. If they see where death and destruction are a positive in their belief system, if they are being controlled by a person, because when people go into high positions and have the responsibility of leading people, it's just like in government or anywhere else. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. And if they have a certain bent on causing harm and using the words of religion or the books of religion in order to do that, there will always be people who will be drawn to that who are of the same mind. So it's we have to take it down to the basic, I think, of these are people who, regardless if they would have been a religion or not, would have acted out in some way in an aggressive manner towards other people. This is where the problem begins. We have a world of people, and the people are either they do good things or they do bad things, or they're indifferent, where they stand in the middle and ignore both sides. We can't change that. We have to change the structure of these belief systems in our own minds and in our own hearts and in our children's minds and hearts. If we want to make change and positive change, I don't know if you can ever get rid of religion, because we're not grown up enough yet to be able to do without religion, you know, Orthodox religion, where we need someone to tell us what to believe and how to believe, where we need someone to tell us what is right and what is wrong. There will always be those people. So if we can change the structure of religion, which we can't, then we have a chance to change all of this, and we don't have to have these conversations anymore.
Well, I think,
but I don't think that's possible.
I think that the biggest thing is people got to come to an understanding that they got to allow people to be themselves and to walk their own journey to find out. This is a journey, after all. When we come together, we bring all of our experiences with them. Barbara had to leave because she wasn't able to talk through that head cold. Sad to see her go. But you know, I hope you get better, Barbara. Love you. Anyway, they always trying to tell us we got to be tolerant. We got to be tolerant of these people. We got to be tolerant of those people. And in the same sense of saying we got to be tolerant, they don't want to be tolerant of us, or for whatever background you come from. There's somebody out there that's not tolerant of that. And it's just another word. Tolerating and all this is just another word. But if we can't personally come to an understanding that each and every one of us are different. I mean, there's no two of us the same. You can have identical twins and they are not the same. Everyone has their own personality. Everyone has their own spirit, their own soul, their own energy. And unless you're willing to accept them as they are, if you're trying to change them because you don't think they're acting right or you don't think that they believe in the right things, you see what I'm trying to say here? You gotta allow people to be themselves, plain and simple. And until the world realizes that, we're just gonna be battling. Everybody's an ism or an ist.
Well, yeah, and the thing of it is that people are going to be who they are,
yeah.
Period. You're not going to change them. You can only change yourself and how you perceive. And, you know, here's the deal, is that we don't live in utopia. We're not even close. We're so far from that that we can't look at the world with this utopian view. We have to work to get there. If we want it, if we truly want it, we have to start working together to get there, because it's not going to happen without us.
Yeah.
It's not been built to be a utopia, not for us.
No.
The people, the construct that has been behind this from the very beginning, the control systems that are in place, are not there to bring us together. And if we haven't figured that out by now, something's really wrong.
Barbara, Barbara Three Crow in the People for People chat room said that the gods warred against each other. You know, there's like, if you especially go back and look at the Greek gods and all that, they were always doing battle with one another, and that's not setting a very good example. But, you know, if you take you and I together, we're getting along just fine. You know, and you and I together, we could do some amazing things. You know, we could shine our light, and we're not looking to be leaders, and we're not looking to be followers either. We just want to be, you know, working with each other, because we see with what we've been given, you know, to heck with what the system does. To heck with what the gods did. What about our responsibility? Where does our responsibility start? I mean, we live down here. We're the base that holds up that evil pyramid that we're always complaining about. And so when does our responsibility kick in to where you and I are held responsible for our actions and our words in trying to either make or break this world that we live in? You see what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, but the simple fact of the matter is like I said, I don't think we can ever change the construct.
We can't.
By standing here and saying, all right, all you bad people, hear what we're saying and change. That's not ever going to happen.
No.
Because they know who we are and what we're about. I'm not saying personally know who we are. I mean, they know that there are good people out there who do not believe in the systems that have been created. They're not worried about us, because in this world where evil is in the heart of man and is able to manipulate, it does. And it does so in high places, in places of authority. And as long as evil sits in that place of authority, then we will always have what we have right now. It's not ever going to change. If you look back through the history, you can see that plainly. It's not going to change. So where is our power? Well, it resides in the individual, because we have to determine the peace. We have to determine the love. We have to determine who we are outside of these systems and work towards that. And there will always be people who will want to be part of that system.
Yep. You know what?
So the only thing we can do is, like Barb is always talking about, Shaziz, it's the frequency.
Yeah.
It's the vibration. You know? Have to work from our power.
That's why, and I say it, I was going to slap the bee's nest, and I did, that, personally, we can become vampires and not even realize we are. By throwing them negative vibes out and telling everybody how terrible it is. No, speak into existence the good things that you want. The moment you open your mouth and you let those words fly, you just brought it to reality. I'm dying of cancer. Okay, well, I guess you really are then. I'm sorry to hear that, but you know, there are things out there that might help you out if you look into them. And you know, it's just people don't. They've been told for so long that they are helpless, that they've been told so long, you have to have the doctor. You got to go to the doctor. You know, in some instances, if nobody around you knows what to do for you, you may need to go to the doctor. But, you see, it's like, what can you do? You're darned if you do and you're darned if you don't. At least go hear what the doctor has to say and do some research and make a decision for yourself's best interest. But if you're going to sit around and believe yourself to be dying, you're going to die. And that's sad. Because I don't want to lose nobody. You know?
Yeah.
And if you're sitting around telling everybody you're dying, you got some kind-hearted souls like everybody that sits on this panel. You sit around telling me you're dying, I'm getting sad. I'm getting negative, and I'm going to start praying for you and try to bring you back around to the positive side. No, I'm not going to die. I'm going to live. I'm strong. I'm going to use that gift that I've been given. I'm going to use this power of the force or the power of my God or power of whatever, you know, and I'm going to heal myself. You see what I'm saying?
Look. Yeah, and James just said something in the chat that is really what is going on right now. Victim blaming, basically. They're dialing it up, from what I can see, is what he says, and he's right. That's happening all around. And as long as we can play the victim, as long as we can say somebody else is responsible for the way I am, there's no solution. There's no empowerment, self-empowerment. There's no ability to rise above that. And we have to, you know, I keep saying we have to. And it's not we have to. You don't have to do anything. It's just a form of the way I speak. But to me, I have to stand in a place that does not go overboard one way or the other. I cannot be who I am and tell somebody else, you can't be who you are.
That's right.
But what I can do is discern where I am in the mix of all of this and what my power is and what I can do to change my world.
That's right. So if you can be the best that you can be.
Right. And the way we do that is by forming our own systems of belief. And the way we form our own systems of belief is by knowledge. By knowing.
Bingo. That's exactly why I say what I say when I tell everybody I'm a Christian. All right. I'm not like a part of the Catholic Church. I'm not with any denomination out there. I heard the words of what could very well possibly be just a man or a messenger or even quite literally the Son of God, alright? I don't know. I wasn't there when it occurred. But what I do know is that the words that come out of his mouth about loving others and treating others right and not killing and loving thy neighbor and loving thy enemy and so on down the line, that resonated in me, you know? And so, when I say Christian, I don't mean to label myself to the extent that everybody looks at me differently now. All right? I'm just saying that this man that they called Christ that said all these nice things and powerful things about that if I had the faith of a mustard seed, I could move mountains. That told me I could believe in myself. I could believe that, you know, there were possibilities. And then if I walked a decent path down there, you know, I might shine that light for everybody else. He didn't, you know, there's a parable that he used about not going out and cutting down the weeds that, or the chaff amongst the wheat. And there was a reason for that, because you might cut down, you know, think you're cutting down the bad weed and suddenly cut down the good weed as well. And that good weed down there might not be as bad as you think it is. You might have a chance for redemption, if you understand what I'm trying to say.
Well, I'm back.
Well, I'm glad you're back. I was a sad face when you left.
Well, there's a question from Charles Two Dog. Thank you. It says, if we are to love everyone, and love is the answer, why worry if a woman wears a hijab? It's part of her culture, right?
Well, I don't have a problem with her wearing that. I just, what the whole purpose is look, if I wear a red hat that says Make America Great Again, people are offended by that. All right,
well, people are beating each other up about that, right?
And if you're going to ban one headgear, you should have to ban them all in order for the scales of justice to be balanced equally. You know.
Well, I think
in Congress, Ilmar is her name. I think it is
Ilmar. Ilmar.
She is Muslim. And she wanted to wear her hijab, and there was the House were not going for it in the committee that she was in, because there was already a thing on the books where no one was allowed to wear a head covering hat or anything like that while in session.
But they
so that is the reason, yes, but that is the reason why there was a hubbub about her wearing the hijab. Now, that's not to say there are bans out there right now on the public saying you cannot wear your hijab in order, like when they go to the airport and they have to go through the TSA, they tell them that you have to take your head covering off. Now, I understand that, because if they can take a child and stick their hand down that child's groin and feel that child up to make sure he's not wearing a bomb before he gets on the plane, then of course you're going to, if they think it's that serious, you're going to want to know what's under that hijab if you can't see the face, if you can't see the eyes. I mean, I understand this, but out in public, nobody has a right to me to tell another person, you cannot wear that shirt, you cannot wear that hat, you cannot wear that hijab, you cannot wear this or that.
But if you go into a system of rules like Congress, they have already set in place rules that no headgear in the deal, and then you want to change that system from within, you know, where's the balance? Does that mean that now, since she gets to wear that in Congress, that everyone else can come in there wearing their Make America Great hat again, or...
Well, I want to weigh into this, because there's more than just wearing a hijab. This whole full body hijab where there's a tiny slit where they only see the eyes. And I've seen pictures of the TSA agents, for instance, asking the women, you know, to remove them so they could do their thing, you know. My thing about the hijab, this full body blanket with a tiny slit that you see the eyes... okay, yes, it's their culture, but there's a lot behind this. Women, for instance, in that culture, if any part of their body is seen, they can be attacked, basically. They can be beaten. Also, they can be caned for exposing any part of their body. You have to question, why is that? Well, because there's a whole written in their culture, in their... Quran, that women are subjected basically as slaves, and they are to the men, and they are basically have one purpose, and to basically acquiesce to whatever their husband wants, and to have children. Their bodies are not allowed to be seen, or they get punished, beaten, and so on. I mean, what kind of a culture is that? That's a question. I don't have anything against the hijab. What I have is what it represents to a woman.
Well, that's understandable, because the culture that you're from and the culture that I'm from, we don't treat our women like that, you know. And so when you mix those two cultures together, you know where they're going to clash. That's why I kept on saying a long time ago about the Jerry Springer effect. See, Jerry Springer was brilliant, all right? Regardless of whether you like his show or not, this guy's brilliant. Because he could take two separate groups of individuals with two separate ideas on what things should or shouldn't be, and he can go over and tell the one, yeah, this is what they think over there, and then he can go over and tell the other one, this is what they think over there, and then put them in together and let them have at it. And everybody's running around, Jerry, Jerry. Well, all along, if you take a step way back and you look at the picture of what's going on in Europe and Canada and Australia and the United States and Scotland and Ireland and all that, there is a Jerry Springer in every single one of these deals, stepping back and saying, look what he's doing, look what he's doing back to the other. And everyone around there is doing the same thing. Jerry, Jerry. Some of them seeing through the whole deal, and they're protesting the doggone system that's allowing this. But nonetheless, you got to ask, who's that Jerry Springer behind doggone scene, the one that's poking the bee's nest all the time, so to speak? I run up and slap the bee's nest, and all I had to do was use terminology. So I just played a Jerry Springer on the world. Now I got people up on arms.
Barry just said that Quebec just banned hijabs in public, and probably because two men in hijabs robbed a bank in Toronto Friday. And it is a great disguise. And so that's just, one reason, what we're talking about. I guess my main issue is that culture is basically a complete controlling of women, women's rights, women's lives, and just women in general, and girls. Yeah. So that's all I'm saying about that. And this hijab, of course, is it's a focal point, because these women are basically covered, completely covered, and they have just their, eyes showing, and they're not allowed, if they don't wear the hijab, as I said, or show a tiny portion of their ankle, they can be brutally punished. This is a sick thing, people.
And I also understand that whenever you're sitting there and you're swearing an oath to uphold the Constitution, and you've got some symbolism on your head that is contrary to that oath, you see, that don't really jive with the system. You see what I mean?
But you also now have prayer coming into our system. Okay, prayer in our Senate, for instance. And the Muslim prayer. They're trying to push that type of thing. And so then you have that controversy. Well, the prayer in school. And I'm not saying I'm for prayer in school. I'm just saying that there is an infiltration happening here to corrupt and disrupt and negate many of this, the United States, I guess you'd want to say, the system that we have lived under. I believe that there should be no religion/political connections, but I see it's always been there, for God and country and so on and so forth. We go to war for God, in all these other cultures, Sharia law is based on the war and violence and so on in their God's name. And this is across the board. I'm not just saying these two religions. So what this says to me, again, goes right back to the point of religions are a big problem, I feel. religions are a big problem, but this is what we're going to be going to war. I hope not, but this is what people are thinking or feeling or predicting, that we are going to be having a revolutionary war in not only in Europe, because that has been predicted there, but about what is happening, but here in this country. I think they're pushing that, and it's going to be like this, fighting against these religions,
Well, There's a podcast out there. I actually did a video years ago. It's only had 410 views, but maybe I shouldn't have made the video. But there was an actual news broadcast. I'm going to see if I can pull this thing up. It'll probably happen.
Back in the book segment tonight, some viewers were stunned when ABC News put a radical Muslim cleric on the air who was asked about Islam in America.
So do you agree with Reverend Graham and our panelists on this side that Americans should fear Islam?
We do believe as Muslims the East and the West will one day be governed by the Sharia. Indeed, we believe that one day the flag of Islam will fly over the White House.
Wow.
Did you hear that?
They said, no, I didn't hear
they it. Said, he said that they believe that Sharia law will rule the East and the West, and that the Islam flag would fly over the White House. All right, so basically, you know, imagine yourself a patriot, one of these militia guys, and suddenly you heard this on the news that we believe one of these days the flag of Islam will fly over the White House. What are you supposed to
think about this? Think about this, though. Think about this. The mainstream media will not allow you to say certain things that they consider hate speech. Yet they will allow these extremist Muslims to say this, and they will broadcast it over the air.
Yeah.
So we have to see that this is a construct, again, that we're being played, that they're inciting us.
Yep. He might be in a plant. He might have been, actually, he might not even believe what he's saying. He might have been the CIA deal standing there talking about, we're going to put the flag of the Islamic flag over the White House. Now, of course, that's going to get the people out there all riled up if you're a patriot. And so that's an intentional poke you in your eye type of thing to get you riled up. And so now, every time they talk about going over in the Middle East and bombing some sort of, you know, radical Islamist over there, suddenly you're all on board with it. Yeah, they was going to take over us, so let's go take over them as well. Do you see how people can be manipulated? Now, I'm not anti-Islamic. I'm not anti-Muslim. If you're doing the right thing, then you prove it by your actions. But if you're out chopping heads off or cutting hands off or mutilating girls and mistreating women like that, that's not any religion you're ever going to get me to convert to. All right? It's not going to happen.
I want to say that there was a wonderful video, sis, remember, of this woman. She was originally from, I guess she immigrated from Jordan, was it? I'm not sure, but she spoke about the peaceful religion in response to a Muslim woman in a hijab who was talking about we are a religion of peace. And she talked about history and the different times in our history, the violence against their own citizens. She used, of course, Germany as an example, and then, of course, China and Japan. She talked about peaceful people. There are peaceful people in all cultures, but it only takes a certain percentage within that culture to basically determine and to violate or to murder or to create genocide on their own people. You can have, yes, many, many peaceful people, but throughout history, we have seen peaceful people turning against another group of people in their culture or their own people to murder and commit genocide. So the words, this is a religion of peace, there may be very well a certain percentage, and she had the percentages. She named all these percentages of people who may be following this in a peaceful way and would never harm others. She said, that's typically in our history that people say, I would never hurt people. Like the people in Germany. You know, the people in Germany, okay, were riled up and rounded up and basically pretty much guided by an insane person and a group of people to commit genocide against another race, against another group of people. And this is across the board. So you can talk about this religion of peace, but when you say this religion of peace basically stones people to death, or canes women, or rapes others if they're not of their religion freely, and that's okay to do, that is not a religion of peace. I'm just saying. So I think we need to be, let's say, researching what this religion is. Those doctrines that they are saying, it's not just about the United States waving their flag over our house. It's the world. This is part of this law that they are banking on, that this is the wave that is coming throughout the whole world. And I'm not an alarmist. I'm just looking at these things, you know, and I'm certainly not against people who have a good heart and follow their own, you know, religion. But when you look deep into a particular religion, now look at the Christian religion, look at the Catholic Church. We have to talk about that too. Look at the Crusades. How many people were riled up, okay, to murder others and commit genocide. It's the same thing across the board with these religions. So we're meeting this again today. So, okay, so the Christians aren't riling up now and getting the Crusades together to go out there into the world and murder other people. They've done that already, okay? So, but we have today what's going on in the whole world where we see this, to us, it's a new religion, but it's not new. This is ancient, and their history is pretty scary. I'm just saying.
Well, yeah, well, the thing of it is, too, is that, yes, there has always been the extreme sect of Islam. It's always existed, but before the advent of what we are witnessing now, where the CIA and Mossad and other countries went in and created this extremist caliphate, you know, religion where they are now. Before these sects existed, they existed within the Muslim territories, but they were fringe. They were not the majority of, or they did not have the numbers, and the Muslims themselves kept them in check. It was not until the countries like like Britain, like the U.S., like Israel, and others went in and built these extremist sects up, armed them, and gave them this extremist view. They were held in check by their own people, right? By the other Muslims. That's not true right now. They have been manufactured, just like everything else that we are experiencing right now. It's all been manufactured, and we're the ones who are being duped. We're the ones who are being led. We're the ones who are being told that we must now hate these guys because look at what they're doing. And they're doing bad things. You have to recognize that these extremist sects are doing bad things, just like the other religions did and are still doing. The Catholic religion is not innocent. They are the worst at abusing children. I mean, look at how many children these pedophiles have harmed and gotten away with. The things that have gone on in the Vatican will just drive you crazy when you read about what they've done. And this is stuff that has come out in the news from the Vatican itself. You know, so none of these extremists, and they come in every form of religion, doesn't matter what religion it is. You've got the Christian religions that don't believe in mixing with other of their own faith because they believe a little bit differently. And so this is something that we have to look at, and we have to realize that this has all been built. It's not something that just happened on its own. They took broken people, they took weak-minded people, and they brought them in and made them feel like they had a place and that their views were righteous. And that's what we're up against. We're not up against a extremist Muslim sect. We're up against the construct that's creating them and creating what we're dealing with today, you know?
Well, that's true. But do you believe that when you allow somebody to offend you, that you actually give them some power over you? You understand what I'm saying there?
Well, see, yeah, the thing of it is that if you find offense in the words, they're being spoken, then you own that. You bought that. But if someone steps out of that sect and causes harm to another individual because of their faith,
that's
on them.
That's the difference right there. When I look at the structure of the Catholic Church, I'm not anti-Catholic. I don't hate Catholic people or anything like that. I know Catholics, but it's not the people that are, you know, into trying to believe in God or whatever, or praying in their own personal way or whatever. It's when you look at the top of that structure. It's when you start seeing gold and fancy buildings and all this kind of stuff, and you know that somewhere in this world there's somebody that is doing without, and yet this person is living quite literally like a king. Has a scepter in his hand and everything. Have you ever looked at that doggone scepter that he holds up there? It's quite controversial. It has the replica of the satanic version of the crucifix on the top of it. It's in the photos. Maybe they were photoshopped. I don't know. I haven't been to the Vatican because I couldn't see it for real time. But the pictures that I saw of that, there's a crucifix out there that is straight, right? And it has a little depiction of Jesus on there. Some people might find that offensive anyway, but nonetheless, there's also a sort of identical crucifix, with the exception is if you look at it sideways, it's all bent and the little figure of Christ is all distorted and hideous on there. That's the one that's on the end of that scepter up there. And if you actually look at the scepter itself, there's some history behind that deal right there. But it's the way that these churches are, even to the extent of the mega churches that put on a floor show for everybody, and that's not Christianity to me. That's not what I subscribe to.
Look, I'm going to weigh in here. Don't we have, if you do the history, if you do the research, we have the Jewish history, the Jewish religion, basically. What they do, basically, is the Jews are more valuable than non-Jews in their religion. Okay, and there's many rules and regulations against non-Jews that is basically, acceptable. If you indirectly cause the death of a non-Jew, it's not a sin. Okay, that's just one. But we have the Sharia law. It's the same thing. Their people, the Muslims, are better, respected more, and anyone else that is not, you could rape or kill or whatever. The same thing with the Christian church, the Catholic church. If you were not Christian, guess what? You were burned at the stake. I mean, this is our history, folks. We're talking about the history of these religions. I don't think there's any religion that gets away without us seeing this types of thing. These beliefs, so the Jews basically said, yes, they agree with love thy neighbor as thyself, but according to rabbinic interpretation, thy neighbor refers only to Jews. This is what we're dealing with, folks.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
Well, I'm just looking at it from a different view, to the extent that according to my beliefs, the devil's a great deceptor. He's a great deceiver, and basically imitates that which is good and turns it into rotten, And just like whether it be, if you're like into politics and you subscribe to the Democrat side of the deal, or you subscribe to the Republican side of the deal, or whatever, whichever one your side of the fence you're on. There are people that on the Democrat side who have nothing to do with what's going on in the Democrat side. There are people on the Republican side. There are infiltrators in everything that might have been good at one point in time. I don't know the full history of everything that goes on. I do know of a lot of stories of atrocities that have occurred under the Christian flag, which I would not, if I would have been back in the day, I guarantee you, I'd have been one of the ones in the Underground Railroad trying to get people to freedom, or I would have been the ones, standing up there as the advocate. I probably would have been burned right alongside them or whatever. I would not have tolerated any type of abuse of children or any type of abuse of any person. I don't feel like anyone has the right to take anyone's life. I mean, my God said, "Thou shalt not kill." He didn't put no and or subsection A, article B in the fine print of paragraph D, anything like that. He just said plain and simple, "Thou shalt not kill." There must have been a reason why he said that.
Well, it's just like the Bible says, or your God says, "Love thy neighbor as thyself," and that's taken by this Jewish doctrine as, "Yes, your neighbor is only the Jews."
Yeah.
You know.
Well, see.
Or do not kill. Do not kill anybody. Yeah, but you can kill. It's okay if you accidentally kill a non-Jew. That's not a sin.
To me, it's a sin.
Well, of course, but I'm just saying, this is the insanity of what we are dealing with, and this is centuries old. These are centuries old doctrines, just like the Talmud, if I'm correct, and maybe Patty can correct me, spoke about you can penetrate a three-year-old child, a three-year-old, and it is not a sin.
That's disgusting.
Yes. Three-year-old in a day.
That's right. Okay, and Muhammad had taken a wife at 6 years old and consummated their marriage at 9 years old, and today the imams speak about this, that this is perfectly fine. This is what we're dealing with, folks. This is sickness that we are dealing with, and people believe these things. So you say, yeah, our religion is a peaceful religion. Well, Christianity is, follows the rule and law of God, but yet they're out there crusading and they'll burn people at the stake if they're not Christians.
They're molesting and abusing children.
And that has been going on for centuries. Oh, it seems like they've just discovered this now. No, they have not just discovered this. This is centuries old, this pedophilia within the church. It's a perfect setup. They've all been protected. They've all been shuffled around from little village to little village, and they can perpetrate their violence, their disgusting behavior upon children, and they got away with it for years and centuries and centuries. This is nothing new. This is a religion that people bow down to, and I'm sorry, you can see how riled up it gets me.
Well, yeah, I understand that. So how do we resolve this? How do I, as a Christian, resolve this so that I can be accepted as, you know, just me? You know, I'm not trying to convert anybody. And, you know, whenever I talk about my deal, I have to tiptoe on, I have to be on my toes because I'm walking on eggshells. Because if I tell people I'm a Christian, suddenly all these things come out bad about what Christians done. And that's not
what... I'm going to say this right now. I am not a Christian. All right? I am a spiritual person. I believe in something omniscient, something awesome that has created beauty and sacredness. So I believe in that. I am not a Christian. Okay? I grew up Catholic, but I left that long ago when I was 10, when I was told by spirit that this is a lie.
Well, I've got no problem with the way that you believe.
I know you don't. I don't have any problem the way you believe, but what I'm saying here, Shaziz, is I don't know. You see, I know you love the Mother Earth, and I know you have a good heart, and I know you're a kind man, and I know you're compassionate, and I know that you work very hard to help people and do the right thing. Okay, I don't equate you with a Christian just because of those things. I equate you with myself and with Patty and with Barry and with other good people here in this chat. See, that's how I equate you. I would never say to my friends, you know, I know this guy, Shaziz, he's a Christian. That's not how I talk about you. I'm not telling you to change. I'm just saying, to me, I am not a Christian. I will not equate myself with any sect at all. Because this is the problem, to my understanding, is that when you glom on to some sect or some cult, which it is, there's where the problem is. Everybody then identifies you as, connected to the Catholic Church, Christian.
Well, that would explain.
And I don't know any more than that I can say that. Well, I mean, I just feel like I don't identify you as a Christian. I identify you as a loving, compassionate man.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, this would explain why it is that whenever I go to a church and I hear something contrary to what my beliefs of what Christ said that I will not hesitate to stand up and tell that church that, you know, that's not what I subscribe. So, you know, I'm going to let you guys do whatever you're doing. I'm going to go on head on out the door. I won't fall for that stuff there.
You know what? The history tells us that Christians were involved in genocide. Okay? Now, you have, and Charles Two Dog says, if we didn't take the Bible, we got the gun. Guess what? When the people even changed and became Catholic or whatever,
yes,
they were still genocided. They were still...
But they were not savage anymore, sis. Then they were able to go to heaven. That was the important thing of converting the savages.
Well,
because as savages, they would remain in hell. But if you could convert them before you killed them, then they would go to heaven. So that was perfectly acceptable.
That's terrible.
I just want to reiterate that... just because you say that you are Christian does not mean that you would ever do anything to harm another individual. Like you, Shaziz, you are a Christian, but everything you do is for the empowerment out of love and compassion for life. And the same thing with Barry. This is what I'm saying about religion was built specifically to do this, to create extremes on both ends, and then you have the people in the middle who they, for fellowship or for whatever reason, became a part of a Orthodox religion. But a Christian does not have to be a Catholic or a Protestant or a Baptist or a Pentecostal or any of these.
And doesn't even have to go to the doggone churches that they call
churches. That's right.
Well, look at the Mormons. Right. Look at the Mormons. The Mormons, these people, they rape children as well. I mean,
yes.
It's across the board. It's some kind of a privilege appears when you're involved in some cult religion. And it's across the board.
Well, my Jesus said that any time two or more come together in his name there, he would be also. And so, to me, a church is the apple tree sitting right out there in the yard, and a good friend like Barry and Patty and y'all, Barbara, you know, sitting there with me, and we're all just discussing what's going on, you know? And I can't tell you that anything in my belief system is the right way to go. I'm just telling you, this is the journey I've been on. And so, when I look into this world, and I know this world is full of control freaks, I know it's full of all these different types of ists and isms and political and religion. Those aren't things that I subscribe to. I wouldn't call somebody anything. I wouldn't label them anything. If they want to tell me that they're racist, then, you know, I'll take them for the word. Okay, you're a racist. I really don't subscribe to that, so I don't think I necessarily hang around with you. But either way, the whole key of what I'm trying to get at is that we have been manipulated so badly via education, via indoctrination to school, not just to schools, but our political, our doggone media, the propagandists out there, alphabet soup agencies, and so on down the line. And at some point, we have to come to some sort of agreement as individuals, not under some one world banner or some one world ideology, that you're always going to be different than me. You might have a bigger nose than me. I might have a nose that looks like Toucan Sam, for Pete's sake. I might have some sort of characteristic that is not aesthetically pleasing to your eye. All right, but we're going to have to resolve something to understand that each one of us have these differences. And unless we decide to put our differences aside and actually start doing some real work towards fixing the world that we live in, this system will always win. We can beat the system without even trying to take down the system. We can beat the systems by coming together. Several men came together and under 4 minutes took and put together a World War II Willys Jeep got in the Jeep, drove across the finish line, and that was just one little tiny fraction of an example of what you can do when you put all your differences aside and make something happen. I want to be beside the atheist. I want to be beside the Buddhist, the Muslim, the Hindu, and anyone who wants to make this world right instead of wrong. Now, I don't have to agree with any of the books or the text or anything down there that said or any of the history that they did to each other. I'm talking about since we're in the here and the right now, we've got to find some sort of peaceful resolution to end the wars, to end the starvation, to end the sickness, to end all the madness out there. But as long as people out there are willing to allow themselves to be offended by everything out there because you can't get these folks to come to your way of thinking, I want these folks to understand you're never, ever, ever, ever going to get anybody to agree exactly with everything that you got. But one thing we can agree on, if we're all in the same boat together, you poke a hole over there, Barry pokes a hole over there, I poke a hole over here, Patty pokes a hole, and we just keep on throwing buckets of water in that boat, we're all going down. Each and every one of us, don't matter what we believe. And we'll go to our perspective, gods or lack thereof, when it's all said and done. But if we don't figure out that each one of us is actually a piece of a greater puzzle, and we don't come together and take all the gifts and the talents and the blessings, the resources that we've been handed to, and we don't do the right thing with those, it's not just us that's going to suffer the wrath. It's going to be our children and our children's children. I'm not going to live underneath no Sharia law. I will be one of the ones executed. I'm not going to live under communism. I'll be one of the ones executed. I'm not going to stop speaking the truth. I will be one of the ones executed. And if I see somebody trying to, under my belief system, do something terrible to somebody else, I will be executed right alongside them. That is what my spirit is made of, and that is what the Knights of the Round Table is all about. I'm going to stand up for my neighbor. I'm not going to be the one who remains silent out of fear that I'm going to die. I'm not going to do that. And when I see that the world is in the type of jeopardy that it is right now, I'm going to speak the truth, even if it costs me the ultimate price. That's what a true knight stands for. We don't judge each other because of our race or religion or our color. We do talk about things that are terrible that's happened in the past. And we try to tell it from our own perspective. This is what I've lived. This is what I've seen. This is what I've researched. These are possible solutions to problems out there. Can we all come together in love and fix this thing? That's the big question.
Wouldn't it be amazing if we could all view each other as children view each other?
Yep, that'd be wonderful.
Well, what I see, I was going to say something similar, is that we are all so much alike. We all want the same thing, but people again, have that knee-jerk judging system that they've been put under, is to just judge people by what you see, or maybe you hear them say something. You don't even know that person, but you will judge them by the way they look. You will judge them by their color. You will judge them by their religion. You will judge them by, you know, how they live, or their what they have, what they own. This is where we are, you know, heading down in that territory where, guess what? We are all the same, really, ultimately. We all want peace. We all want health for our children. It doesn't matter what religion you have, I don't think, or what political preference you have. You know, we all want the same thing. We want health. We want well-being. We want joy in our lives. You know, we want to be, you know, healthy. We want our grandchildren to be healthy. We want the earth to be healthy, our water to be clean. We all want the same thing, but people just jump to these judgments upon someone by what they're, you know, even you. If you say you're a Christian, right away you're judged. They don't even know you. They don't know what a good person, beautiful person you are, you know? I mean, I'm just saying we don't really know fully the people that we're talking to out there in the world, and why those people will log off or just delete us, You know, they don't really even know us. And like you're saying, we're here sharing, I think, vital information of what we've discovered about our history and so on and what's going on in our world today. And our goal, basically, is to give the information, to share this information, and then come to, you know, resolve solutions that we are all the same. Pretty much, that's what I'm saying.
Yep, and we got to stop allowing ourselves to go out and label, using the system's label, against each other, because words are powerful. I mean, I played a speech on the deal. I didn't play it on the radio, I don't think. But I did send the video in there. I don't know how many people actually listened to it, but it talked about, from, you know, a Christian perspective, of why it is that your words are so powerful, that we speak into existence. Some people actually believe that we are co-creators and that we speak. When we speak our mouth, out of our mouth comes negativity, so shall it be. You know, and I believe that. I honestly believe that you can really drag somebody's soul through the mud and worse, all the way down to the greatest, darkest abyss, just with the words coming out of your mouth.
Well, in the Talmud and in the Quran, as far as I understand, there are words spoken, laws spoken about what you can do to a child. I don't think that's in the Bible, although they have taken privilege and in the name of God have done horrible things to children. And other religions too. I just had to put that out.
Well, there's also the possibility that some of these sickos are actually hiding behind the cloak, which, you
that's
know,
exactly what's happening.
Exactly. Like I said,
Barry
before, it's a place where you will be sheltered, and you can do what you want. You can, you know, perform and fulfill any of your sick desires, because you are sheltered.
Yep.
There you go.
How you doing, Barry?
Barry.
He's got his mic unmuted, but we can't hear him.
Yeah. Another cup of coffee there.
Now his mic is muted.
he's showing his mic is muted. There he is.
How you doing, Barry? He's having problems.
There he went. Yeah, he's having problems with his mic. Dang it, Barry.
As soon as we hear you, we'll shut up so you can speak. But, yeah, I can't disagree with anything either one of you ladies say. I'm telling you. And I can't disagree with nothing Barry says whenever he gets a chance to talk through his mic. You might want to check your mic volume or something on your side, Barry, because we can see you trying to talk, but you're not. Your sound's not coming through.
You know, I see that it's difficult for people when you have held the religion through your generations, and, you know, when you have sent your daughter to become a nun, believing that that gives you some kind of prestige, or your daughter will now be taken care of because she's married to, you know, she gets married to God, or send your son to be an altar boy, or you have followed this way, you have your little altars, and, you know, your grandma did it, your great-grandma did it, and so on and so forth. I can understand or understand how difficult it is to read what's going on, for instance, like the 300 priests in Pennsylvania that were arrested for pedophilia and upon thousands of children. That's just one state. Man, I can get it. If you have this belief in your whole family for generations, and now what do you do with this? And then you're listening to the Pope, who says, well, we're going to resolve this within our chicken coop. We'll send the foxes together. We'll tell on the other foxes in the chicken coop. I mean, that's absurd. How do people deal with this? You know, I mean, this is a faith that these people have in this religion, as all people who have such a faith for generations and generations in a system that they fully believed in, and now this stuff is coming out. How does a person deal with this type of thing? I mean, I can't imagine, because I left the church long ago, because I was told as a 10-year-old that this was all a lie. How does a family who have sent their daughter to become a nun, and now we're finding out that priests have been molesting nuns and raping nuns, and they've been having babies and killing those? I mean, how does a person deal with this nightmare? Because that's what it is, to me. Well, where do you go? What do you do? Where do you go? Do you really believe the Pope, the Church, is going to fix this problem?
I don't know. Well, outside of the fact is I couldn't justify any of those types of actions underneath, you know, what I believe to be God. I couldn't justify any of those actions. And so with that said, they got some serious fixing to do inside that system if those things are going on, and they need to not hide it.
It's been centuries. You're talking centuries that this has been going on. It's a problem for centuries, and it's been known. This isn't the first time this stuff has been coming out. I'm just thinking of the people, you know, your ordinary citizens who, in their homes, you know, they have their little altars, and they believe in this church and in this God and in this way, and yet you have this horrific thing going on. How does a person deal with this? Because this is their faith, their hope, everything.
I'm going to try to re-add Barry. I'm going to take out of the call and try to re-add you, see if that fixes your mic problem. All right. Go ahead, Barbara. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm just thinking of this because it's right in their faces, you know, right now. I mean, how do we deal with what we're looking at in the political arena right now? We have this issue with the political arena, with the corruptions in our political systems all through the world. This is nothing new, but right now it's really in our face, you know, and things are going to be disclosed, and things are being disclosed. So, and there are people that will not be able to accept this corruptness. They will not be able to. They'll just continue on in that, within that system, believing in that system. All these systems that we are under were put in place by the authorities, those who claim to be authorities over you, over us. Okay, they set it all up so that we would believe in them and live our lives according to what the authorities tell us in every aspect of our life. Yeah?
Well, that's the problem. Maybe we need to ban all authorities.
Well, I'm for that, but what does that take? So here's the thing. It's like, okay, so when you read about, you know, this pedophilia is across the board. It's not just in the Catholic Church. Okay, it's in a lot of systems. You look at the gymnastics debacle that just happened recently, you know, and for years. And there were people that knew this. These girls talked about it, and they were told just to shut up, suck it up, you know. I mean, it's in our face everywhere. Why are people unable to get it?
Well,
why are people?
I think that for the most part, it's probably along the same lines of why it is that I feel disheartening in my mind when I think about, in my heart, when I think about how people look at me different whenever I say the word Christian or Christ or something like that. Is that it's really hard for anyone to accept someone else testing their beliefs of the world, you know, your beliefs, political beliefs, whatever.
Well, it's a system that has brainwashed us. I mean, we're talking about awakening here. This is about humans awakening. This is about a new paradigm. This is about, you know, a shift in the paradigm, in the consciousness of humanity. That is where we are today, I do believe. You know, I mean, we have to go to prophecy, you know, and I'm talking about indigenous prophecies. I'm talking about the fourth world of chaos, the nightmare that we've been living, and moving into the fifth world, 1,000 years of peace. That's a prophecy. That's a different frequency. It's a frequency beyond and above the chaos and the violence and the horrific things that have been going on. That's a different frequency altogether. So we are talking about awakening. We are talking about the light, enlightenment. That's what we're talking about. This is prophecy. This is the timeline where we are. And everything is breaking up and shattering. And I was given this prophecy many years ago by Spirit that there will come the time when everything that was put in place by the dominator patriarchy rule will break up and shatter. And this is where we are today, folks. Don't you see how everything is being exposed and breaking up and shattering? And all the things that we are looking at breaking up and shattering were put in place by the dominator patriarchy rule. This is what we're talking about. This is time to awaken. This is a time to shift into a different frequency altogether. You know, you have to extricate yourself from that matrix, because that's what it is. Right. You know, it's the tentacles that for generations have held you captive, the chains that have basically held you captive.
And the Matrix is every single thing that you experience in society, education, government, religion. Every aspect of your life is part of this Matrix and has been constructed. And it does not change until we decide that we don't want, and if we truly are about peace and about freedom, you know, if you think you're free anywhere in the world and you are under government rule, then you're kidding yourself. If you belong to any system that will tell you that you have to do it this way, you're not free. If you conform, then you're not free. If you feel that if you don't do this, that something bad will happen to you, then you're not free, because some authority somewhere has got control of you. This is the truth, and it's in religion, and it's in education, and it's in everything that you interact with in your world. The only place that you're going to find that freedom is in your spiritual expression and your truth. That's where freedom is. It doesn't exist in this construct. It's a lie. So if we know this, and we truly want to be free, and we want peace, and we want to change the world, then we have to change. We have to make some real serious decisions, because, guys, when you look at the state of the world today, you cannot deny that we're going down, and we're going down fast. And everyone will suffer in the end. Not just those we see as being bad, but everyone. When we look at the way our economies are run, we throw away millions of tons of food every single day, and there are millions starving at the same time. But we have a control that says you have to throw this food away because it's considered refuse. It has bruises. It's discolored. So you can't give this to someone who has no food. And there's a government that says, hey, we'll give you some entitlements. And that way you can go to the store and you can buy some food. Yet there, it's not enough. It's just enough to barely keep you going. And at the end of the month, you don't have any more food. You're praying for that next, the first of the month or whenever you get your entitlement. This is not you living your life. It's you living the life they let you live. And that's what we're doing right now. We're living the life that they let us live. It doesn't matter where you're at. You can't speak. You can't even upload a video of something that actually happened in New Zealand. You can't even talk about it in China. You can't even get on the internet and talk to somebody and say the wrong word in China without being arrested and possibly killed. This is happening every single day. And we have to stop just talking about it, and we have to really think of what that real solution is and how much we're willing to sacrifice our conformity in order to get there. It's not going to change otherwise. It really won't. Well, it will just keep getting worse.
The best of whatever gets resolved in this world always happens by the individual. We've mentioned it many times on this show that during natural disasters or even man-made disasters for that matter, that it's the individuals coming together to bring blankets and food and medicine. You see what I mean?
And they're not asking you, hey, wait a minute, before you help, what religion do you belong to?
No,
wait
not.
A minute. Before you help, who did you vote for? Who's your favorite NFL team? They don't ask that.
No, they don't.
You know?
They just come rushing in and they do what, you know, good people actually do. They take care of one another. And that's what I've been trying to emphasize. And I know you ladies and even Barry, who's having computer issues right now, can't get in here, because I'm sure he's got something wise to say. But either way, we've been advocating for that since the day we started doing these shows. That, you know, to empower each other and to understand how, you know, how valuable each and every person is, and that, you know, if anybody's going to fix anything. My grandfather used to have this saying, he said, if you want something done, you know, right, get up and do it yourself. And there's a whole lot to be said about that. We have a lot of power. We have, right now, we got access to this internet right now. Now, even though that we have entities out there that want to, for monopolizing purposes or even political purposes or whatever, just want to shut us up, they do their little dirty tricks like putting not secure on our sites and stuff like that. They mess with our feeds and stuff, but nonetheless, our message is still getting out there. And we're still staying consistent, just like we did the day we started on this deal. We're still delivering the same message, trying to empower and uplift people from all different backgrounds, from all different nations. Because we honestly believe that if we could actually bring these people together in what I like to call as the dream team. Now, I said it earlier, the group of individuals came together. They put a World War II Willys Jeep together in under 4 minutes, got in it, drove it across the finish line. That's pretty impressive task. They don't even scratch the surface of what we could accomplish. And if the words coming out of our mouth are uplifting somebody's spirit out there, giving them hope, and they can understand that you can actually get on this radio show and you can sit at the table with these other wonderful people. No one sits above anyone. No one's on a pedestal. No, we're all here in a circle together. And I know a few times in history where there were a few cultures out there that's how they did it around the campfire. That's how they negotiated and worked through problems. That's how they fed each other. They sat there as equals amongst each other and in love and taking care of one another. That's what we do here. Barry, I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
I'm using my phone. My computer just crashed on me here.
Uh-oh. You finally made it.
Yeah, I was trying to get in. It wouldn't accept my commands, and I figured I'd reboot it, and now it's doing all kinds of weird stuff, so I don't know what's going on here. And me being a computer dummy, it just drives me nuts when this kind of stuff happens. So I missed the last little bit of the conversation, but I was looking at earlier, interesting conversation.
We talked kindly of you when you was gone.
Well, I appreciate that.
Anyway, we started off this show today talking about vampires and demons are real. War is coming. The only ones that can head that war off is us. If we want to go to war, we're on the right track to do so, because we have everything necessary. We've got control freaks, we got ist, we got isms, we got political, and we got religion, all of which are doing battle with one another. I don't agree with you, so I don't like you no more. I'm taking you off of my Facebook. I'm unfriending you. That's not the way to be. If you can't hear somebody out, if you can't hear the other side of the story, then how are you going to get all the evidence? I wouldn't want you on a jury against me if you were of a different political view, because if you say, you know, I got a red hat, it might not even say America, make America great. It might just be a red hat that says Budweiser on it. But you might look at that hat and automatically make an assumption of my character that I'm a racist. I'm an ist or an ism, and that you're going to want to vote against me. And that's the problem. There is a deal out there that talks about judging a book by its cover. How you going to judge that book if you ain't never read it? You see what I mean? Did we lose Barry again? Oh boy, I swear. You got to get him some better tech. We're going to have to send him a computer or something. Don't everybody jump to the microphone at once. Wouldn't want anybody to chip a tooth.
Well, I think things are not going to change by themselves, at least not the way we would desire them to be. And so we've got some really tough thinking and to decide which way we're going to go. I, for my own opinion and what I see happening now, we're at the brink of civilization's collapse, as far as economies and communication with each other, wars. All of these things are being set up, and they could happen tomorrow. It could happen tomorrow. And the only thing that we're going to be able to rely on when that happens is our ability to stay out of harm's way and to hopefully get together with individuals who are like-minded, who really, truly want to go a different way. And that'll be our window of opportunity. And it'll be a short window of opportunity. And there's going to be a lot of suffering. And there's going to be a lot of chaos. And if we don't realize this and start getting ourselves mentally, emotionally, and physically ready, then we're going to get sucked up.
And spiritually, I'm going to add spiritually, because that's really part
yes.
of it as
yeah.
well.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you. We can see you, too.
Pretty out of the flow of the conversation here. Sorry about that, guys. I've been getting calls here, and then it shut off on me, and then I had to come back in. I don't know what's going on here today. But somebody obviously doesn't want me to talk.
Apparently.
But I don't know how much time you got left in your show, and I haven't really got to my flow of the conversation, but really what Patty just said is really spot on, that, you know, what I see right now is the world firing into total chaos.
Yep.
And it just has to be getting better by the day. And we know it's all coming to a head. And Patty's spot on when she says that, you know, really the most important thing is they have to prepare yourself mentally, physically, for what's coming. Because when it does come, many, many people are going to fall into these traps. And they'll just follow whatever is being told to them. And, it's not a free time coming up. I see it all coming together right now. We could talk about multiple things that point to this particular time. But to me, it's very important for myself that I start my day in prayer, and that my connection with Jesus Christ is very, very, very alive. And he's working well in my life, so I'm happy.
Yeah, many prophecies for many cultures.
I think that people,
a church, it means a connection with Jesus Christ, and that's what I feel in my life, yeah.
I think that people are so reliant upon the system, upon the authorities that will make it all better. The authorities will save us. The authorities will have this all figured out. It's not going to affect me. This won't happen here. This won't happen to me. People are just so dependent completely on the government, the authorities, the Red Cross, I mean, food deliveries, whatever it is. That people are just, that's their lifestyle. They have no idea, no concept. I think it's going to be really difficult for those types of people if you keep believing that, yeah, we're going to be okay, we'll be saved, you know. The man is going to come and save us, you know, the government, the army, whatever it is. They'll take care of everything. Yeah.
That's the role of the program, you know, the chaos. And when the peak goes...
You're way low, Barry.
Huh?
Talk louder.
I'm sorry. I'm really having a hard time here today with these connections, guys.
We hear you good
but
now.
The way I see it is really, Barbara is absolutely correct in what she just said, that, you know, most of the people in society, they still live in the matrix. They believe that that nothing really, really could go wrong, that when it does, the government will have the answers. And that's the trap that's being set up. And we all see it coming right now. We know it's accelerating. To me, I find it a very exciting time, a very sad and very exciting time in history at the same time. Yeah. But I know thousands and millions of people are going to be led astray, and they are going to be taken into this. And all I can say, buddy, is that, how do I put this in words? To me, the most important thing in my life right now is to have a spiritual connection, because if I didn't, I think I'd absolutely go insane.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I would have done went crazy. You know, and if
now, you don't want to get too religious here.
No, but if that
but I'm only saying that because I totally am there with you about that, because to me that's the foundation that is needed. What are you going to depend upon or rely upon that is real, in my estimation, whereas our government or the political system or those in the authoritarian, you know, systems, they are not interested in helping us. They are going to take care of themselves. And plus, the resources that they say are available for us will not be available, you know. They're just not. So I do stand with that. I'm always saying, you know, get right with your Creator. Get your spiritual foundation strong, because you're going to need that to rely upon. You're going to need that faith in something. I'm not going to tell you what. That's not my place to tell you that. But that's a faith. When we have faith, it is a power. It is a frequency beyond your imagining. And this is what we have to understand, what we're talking about here. Fear is a frequency that will destroy you. Okay, it's the same thing with doubt and all those other low-end frequencies, low on the totem pole frequencies, will destroy you. And so that's why I say that faith and that love and compassion and trust and faith is a key frequency that will help us move through whatever is coming. It's a frequency that is unimaginable. It's a power. Again, words are powerful,
yeah.
You know?
You know what, Gregory... He puts the perfect things, either his poetry or this is a quote by Plato. Mankind will never see an end of trouble until lovers of wisdom come to hold power, or the holders of power become lovers of wisdom.
Yeah, that's
awesome, good. Gregory.
Well, you know, we're getting down there to it again. Look, folks, don't allow yourself to become a vampire. Don't allow yourself to become a demon, you know. They're real. They really are real. You know, maybe not in the same exact, you know, basically definition that you might have seen in Hollywood or whatever. But when you come across to somebody, always negative. And that, I'm like a sponge. If I'm around people who are constantly negative, I feel my energy decreasing. I feel like I'm getting depressed. I get bummed out. And when I'm around people who are positive, like this group of individuals on this particular night at the round table, I'm uplifted. I got joy in my heart. I got love in my heart. And I know they feel the same. And we're trying to put a message out there. You know, there's some things that you need to be aware of. There's some things that you need to look out for. There's some tools that you're at your disposal that you have. And one of those tools is yourself. You know, if you make yourself real strong and you follow your own true heart's journey and you let that light that is you shine bright, you'll help those that are in the dark. And if they see what you're doing and it works for you, they might want to adopt that into their life. That's how I believe a true Christian acts. That's how I believe that, you know, I'm going to share my message with you whenever you ask what it's about. But nonetheless, the system is set up in a way that is basically planned against you. They started the mess, and they're going to rush in as the so-called saviors of the mess. You know, they have the eight signs that they might be control freaks. They have... They had the terminology like ist and ism and political and religion to attack you with. You know, you're a religious ideologist and racist and all this kind of stuff. And they use every bit of these words, these powerful words, It's powerful to tell somebody they're a racist. You could get them mad. You could get them offended. You know, and you can hurt their feelings or whatever. But words are definitely, without a doubt, more powerful than you think. So, and so, whenever you're going through your life and everything's going awry, do what I believe my God said to do. Speak it out of existence. Talk that negative down. Get the negative away from you. Throw it away. You know, talk positive. Only talk the positive things in your life that you want to come about. You know, Jesus said that if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could move mountains if you believed it. Well, then you better believe it if you want to move that mountains. Otherwise, you ain't gonna move the mountain. And I believe that right now, we have the possibility, we have the capabilities, if we could actually exercise the wisdom from all the different cultures that have learned things throughout this world, in the time that we're in, we could fix this world. We can fix this world that's so broken right now, before it gets out of hand. Some people think we're already there, but I'm not willing to lay down to that. I'm not going to give up. I know what the prophecy said. And if I have any power in my mind, my God's not a liar. Alright? If he's God, he can't lie to me. And he said I could do things. If I can do things, I can inspire somebody to have hope and love in their heart. If I can have them inspired to have hope and love in their heart, and their light comes on, or whatever journey they take, they're going to be able to see where they're going from that point on. That's where my point of view is. So with that said, it's time to go around the table. We better let Barry talk first, because he's having a heck of a time with his doggone system over there. You need technology, Barry.
It's frustrating, to say the least. I've got a show this afternoon that unless I can get somebody over here that's a computer geek and figure out what's going on, I'm going to have to shut my show down today. It's too bad because I had a couple of great guests coming in, but... I really wanted to get in earlier, guys, because when you're talking about the Catholic Church and you're talking about Islam, I really had some good points to add, but we'll have to save it for another show. I really don't have much I would say. I mean, it was good listening to you guys talk, and sorry I'm having these problems today, and hopefully next week I'll be able to get in here and share a few of my thoughts.
Well, in case your show makes it, tell everybody how to come and listen to you.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah, anyway.
It's on People's Internet Radio, right?
Yeah, it is People's Internet Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific time today. And like I said, I'm going to call a computer friend of mine so he can get over there and fix my computer.
Great.
So if not, I won't.
Great. I hope you get it going. We love you, Barry. Which one of you ladies want to go next?
I'm going to go next because I'm feeling like I need to go. I don't know. I'm hearing my echo.
That's Barry.
I don't know.
Can you turn off your mic, Barry?
Okay. So here's. Okay, I'm gonna say let's not rest upon our laurels, whatever that means. I don't know. It just came up. I think we have our work cut out for us, but it's I call it the sacred works, and why the sacred works are is about frequency. The sacred works are about. You know, how do we walk? How do we, what are we emanating every day? And we emanate everything through our minds, our thoughts, and our acts, our emotions, okay? Even our beliefs emanate out from us and affect all things. So I think if we're going to align ourselves with the 1,000 years of peace, which is a high frequency of compassion and love and peace, okay, we have that work to do. It doesn't mean you're just going to sit here and think, okay, I'm going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. You know, trust in whatever. No, we have to actually shift our frequencies. We have to actually take that step to change our frequency. So this is what I call the sacred works. However you do that, whether it's meditation or visualization or just going out onto the Mother Earth or ceremony or prayer, you must think about how can you change your frequency to align yourself with the highest divine frequency or sacred frequency or joyous frequency, peaceful frequency, love frequency, because this is what this is about, this new paradigm. So you're not just going to wish yourself there. You're not just going to claim, well, I'm going there. You must do the work to change your frequency. That's all I'm going to say. Thank you for allowing me to be here today. I really love talking with everybody. Pilamaya,
well,
Dope Shop.
Thank you for blessing us with your presence, lady. I just love this lady. I love all these people out here. Words of wisdom. So we got one wonderful lady left. How about you, Patty? You got any words of wisdom before we go up out of here?
Well, you know, I think that the show was pretty much full of what we could put out there, and in the chat also. I think the only thing that I can say is that, you know, do go by the Creator's law. And you can do that because it simply says, you know, in essence, to do no harm and to realize that we're all related. And there's always going to be good and bad people out there because we have the ability to choose who we want to be. I think that's the most important thing, is that we make sure that the choice we make of who we are is who we choose to be, and not following the lead of anybody else, because you're valid. You are of the Creator. You are of the Source, and you are no different than anyone else when it comes to your freedom to be who you are and to choose who you want to be. And I think that's the most important thing that I can leave us with, because these things are going to keep happening. We're going to keep seeing people suffering. We can either do something about it with what we have the ability to work with, either talking to people like we are, having discussions, or being proactive. But the most important thing that we need to do is to work within ourselves and making sure that we're coming from a place of love and a place of compassion, that our words match our intent. And I guess that's about it. Oh, except for, hey, Stephen, I love you. Just wanted to put
see
that out.
See all that love out there? I just love this. This is what it's all about. You know, you guys and gals out there got big families, and there's people in your family that might be obnoxious, but for some reason you can muster up the love and the tolerance for them. Then you got to realize your family might be just a little bit bigger than you think. It might be a whole lot bigger than you think. And so with that said, try that same thing that you have tolerance for those family members who might you know, get themselves into trouble now and then, and you always rush to the rescue and give them the lecture and tell them you love them and try to keep them out of danger and such. Try to do that to the rest of the world. But the biggest portion that you need to do, the most important thing that you need to do, is fix yourself. Love yourself. Make sure that you are so strong and that you allow yourself to be that individual that shines that light so brightly. I mean, turn it up as best you can. Make that light as bright as possible. It only takes one candle in the darkest cave to beat back the darkness. Imagine you being that one candle. And then you got a friend that sees that light comes over there and their light comes on. It gets brighter in there. It starts getting warmer in there. You start taking care of each other. That's how you send that positive ripple across the pond that could quite literally bring about what we've been dreaming of. I still believe in the dream. I know that the odds are against us because we've had a system that's been around for generation after generation that only thinks about itself, only thinks about its power. That thirst and that hunger to be the king or to be the wealthiest and to be the most powerful, the most notoriety and so on down the line. We lift our celebrities up on a pedestal and we look at them like they're gods, when in reality they're just people like us. They're no different than us. That man we call president, he's just a man. He's not a god. And he needs help from you. He needs your help at the bottom to fix things from the bottom up. And if you don't like that pyramid, if you don't like that structure that's up at the top that you're holding up, you are the base of the pyramid. You're the working man and the working woman. You're the one taking care of your family. You're the one under the laws. You're one under all the oppression. And if you ever want to get out of out from underneath that, you start talking to your neighbors, telling your neighbors to the north to go that direction. I'll go this direction, you go that direction, and we'll let that pyramid drop down to our level where it belongs. That's what needs to be done. Now, whether or not we can muster up the love for one another to actually make this come to pass, it's to be seen. But I still believe in the dream. Because of the words spoken by a man that some people really literally despise, who may or may not have been the Son of God, or may just been a man or a messenger from wherever, I don't know. But the words, they resonate in my heart. They speak of love. They speak of peace and hope. That's what I believe in, and that's what I strive for. I thank you, all the people that showed up at People for People Radio in the chat room. I thank all the people that showed up over there in the Shaziz Radio chat room, the TCT chat room, and the Awake Radio chat room. I thank all the people that are listening in from whatever device you're listening in on right now. I want you to first believe in yourself, and I want you to second go out there and share this message from Barry and Patty and Barbara and myself. And I want you to share the love from the people at People for People Radio. And I want you to share the love from the people at Shaziz Radio. Together we got a good thing going on, and together with your help we can keep it going on. That's all we ask from anyone out there. I still believe in the dream, and so with that said, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Peace and love to each and every one of you. And I wish nothing but the best for all of you. Take care.
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us from every nation come together and make that future a great one.
It was that ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh,
one ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss, they're puny.
Hmm, puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
No
woman!
Man!
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you. We're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant! Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
Red lights at the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We do routines, we order scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red lights at the round table, our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite something able. We're off so mad in Camelot, we sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Shazam's the Terrible! Always routine, Shazam's the Terrible, and the Knights of the Round Table!